providing sonar that will help, hopefully help us look back into that undercut. We've done some work before manually with Army divers that went in and tried to probe that undercut with a survey rod, a long survey rod. It was quite deeper than what the 25-foot rod limit was, including a couple feet for our divers arms. We don't want the divers in there going any further. So that was back in 2007 or 8, which we had the Army divers in. Now we have some new technology that might help us quantify that undercut to help engineering with a repair plan. That also would help us update some of our physical modeling and computer modeling, bathymetry, and when we get into looking at how to operate the spillway for contingency in terms of fish passage, and also we'd also use it in our extensive engineering for erosion predictions too. So it kind of has a two-pronged effect there.
Does the survey extend beyond the Skillet Basin?
It will go about 1,000 feet downstream from the dam axis, which is quite a ways. We've done surveys in the last few years so that we can monitor any changes in the stone basin in terms of erosion or damage or whatever. And so that those limits will be the same. We're just kind of repeating that effort. Okay. We have
The thickness of the concrete?
Yes.
The concrete, no, it's not that thick. The concrete slab is on the order of 2 or 3 feet. There's also some point. It's not like a cavern. There's pieces that are still connected, so it's kind of like you got a floor that's supported by beams instead of. That's why the side scan sonar is going to be so important.
The apron is intact as far as we know. You know, this year we had a little higher, a lot more spill for a longer period of time than what we normally would pass on in a typical year. And so we're really interested now in seeing not only for the apron, but there are other areas on the spillway, phase 9, 12, and 14, that have some erosion holes that we already know, in which in phase, for new people, spillway 9, the concrete thickness there is about 10 feet as designed. Our surveys kind of are estimating that 5 feet of that 10 feet are gone. And what's under that?
This is on the OG?
On the OG, on spillway OG. And what's under the whole spillway OG, the length are utility galleries and access galleries that project needs to get to some of their equipment. And so essentially half of the concrete above that gallery, and 9, and not as much as maybe phase 12 and 14, but at 9 at least, it's kind of a situation that they're already interested in, to the fact that they red tag that out. Only you just don't get, project people just don't get now just to walk down there. As they usually do on a normal day, they have to get to make sure there's enough risk and safety precautions there. So we want to get some more readings on that, compare, and also update our modeling bathymetry when we start to do these spill patterns later on this year and early part of next year, calendar year.
What's the schedule for the repair?
Well, the repair, there is no schedule for repair right now. There was a repair plan and specs effort a few years ago, I don't know exactly, recently, within the last couple of years, but we got to the point where we had about a 90% plans and specs package ready for review, and it was halted because of funds. So we had some repair plans and specs in place, so, but it has been on hold because of funding.
Yeah. And that was just for the OGs.
For the undercut and the
It was for the undercut too. Oh, okay.
We were planning the original plan for and it's still in place. Could be still in place. The plan for the undercut was to drill holes in the apron and pump grout, pressure grout, and fill up the cavern. The OGs has another set of repairs where we would fill in for some trim concrete. Place underwater concrete and do an emergency repair on that. Try to get the form and try to get the shape and smoothness as best we can. Kind of an emergency type repair.
Do you know that hole has exposed rebar?
That I don't know. I don't think there is. I think that we had a dive survey. This is on the OG.
This is a solid monolith without rebar in it.
There's rebar in it,
but not for that.
And I think it came. It's not, I think we're right at the rebar,
but
it's rounded. We haven't gotten rebar poking, at least the last time.
Last time.
No, whatever was there above that is already gone.
It's going to rip that out.
Yes.
Because that's probably a square, it's the 2-inch or better.
Yeah.
Rebar there.
And I think now the surface has got it, but it's smooth relative to the, and the stuff, if there was stuff above it, has been ripped out.
So does this have the potential to affect the spill program next spring?
Yes. Yes.
If the slab breaks.
If the slab breaks, if we have failure of the holes in 9 or 12 or 14, we would essentially have to fill at least that bay and maybe some adjacent bays on our end, engineering end, so that we don't make the issue any worse with erosion and further compromise the safety of the spillway. So, yes.
And just for folks to know now, we have to put people in the gallery, underneath in the spillway gallery. We do have to put gate 9 on seal. And it doesn't matter. In order for us to put people in the spillway gallery, gate 9 has to be closed and tagged out. Just because if it were to pop through, we would have issues with survival.
So to follow up with what Randy talked about, the bathymetry survey is mid-October, and then we're followed by a full, what we quote-unquote, dive. A 3-day dive.
Right. Navy divers will be coming in at this point. They're planned, I think it's November 1 through 4, to visually inspect and do some verification to our hydro survey in the areas that we're concerned with. We especially are wanting to get down and into Bay 9, 12, and 14 areas. And if my scope has it for them to clear any of the loose debris that they see at rocks or anything that might get down to the surface of this of the OG. Because the hydro survey just shoots whatever it shoots. It shoots the beam down and returns back something.
So if it's full of gravel or whatever.
Log or something, we want to get a more accurate representation of what that hole is and get down to the surface of it. So that will be part of their task. They're also going to look at the undercut area. They're also going to look at some other areas that we have some concern with the apron around Bay 17 and 18. There are some areas on the apron around Bays 15. This is downstream from the bathroom blocks that connected the apron. It's a secondary apron there. And so there are some areas there that have some holes that we have been monitoring too.
This is a little bit of an aside, but this gallery that runs the length of this area, is it just one long open thing, or are there some doors in between somewhere where you can walk out?
One long gallery.
The only doors are the elevators that both ends.
And one of the design thoughts is if, in fact, the recommendation might be to add some watertight bulkheads eventually in order to allow us to isolate this in case of... It's one of the recommendations that may come out of the study that Randy's doing. So that's on the table.
As well as fixing the hole in the first place. And that's where...
Which would make more sense.
It would make more sense. Probably, yeah.
I mean, you've got... But what, from a fish standpoint, that's what we're doing.
As soon as possible.
It's crazy.
As far as...
You just don't mind just the dam crumble, right? You know, okay, too. Put hydrocarbon.
Just curious if you're anticipating any special tailwater operations for the survey dates. Those dates, there will be several other concurrent operations going on. So, for example, this October 17th, there will be the B branch work in addition to those November 1 through 4. That will be kind of on the initiation, potentially, of the CHUM operation in addition to that window of potentially that Condit operation. I'm just wondering, for planning purposes, for these ops, are there any special tailwater fondle tailwater, generally with the thermometry surveys, they like it low.
Like it low. I think what Dennis, have we coordinated that?
Well, we haven't really. No, yeah. I mean tailwater. I don't think we're going to need to have any restrictions on tailwater.
Tailwater.
Okay. It's going to be fairly low anyway, and it can only fluctuate a few feet.
Okay.
I think they're asking for something set at B branch anyway to place riprap and all that stuff. So. I think we'll be okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll work around it. We can work around whatever's in the tail race. I think I understand there might be a barge in there that might be placed or something.
As far as November goes, nothing's been settled. But typically, we would try to shoot for an 11.5-foot tailwater, steady tailwater. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing we're going to ask for is, you know, for the bathymetry survey and the other survey is to, you know, close off attraction water while they go into that bay really quick. So like bays 1 or 18, if they need to get in there.
18 will be off.
Yeah, 18 will be off. So we'll have to shut that off for them to quickly get in there and shoot the beam in for the survey. So we've kind of given you a heads up about that, and that's why we push this farther into October and November for you. Yeah.
Yep. So when these, I have two questions. Mm-hmm. The repairs, is it funded through the O&M funding? Is this an O&M repairs? And that's the first question while you're thinking about it. The second question is this the only project that we have a concern with the spillway? Or are there other projects that we need to look at or be concerned about?
It depends on what you mean by the spillway.
The apron.
Okay. Erosion.
Yes. Do we have other erosion problems?
Voids that are breaking.
No.
Can I bring up a little bit of history on your second, not answering your second question, but going back to Low Mole, around 10 years ago, we had a real significant erosion in the below the spillway of Low Mole, to the point where the Corps went and called it an emergency and got the funding to fix it the next year and shut down the spillway for that whole season.
Yeah, I do remember that.
You remember that. I was wondering, are we going to end up doing a similar thing here?
The repairs are not funded under CRFM. They're funded under major rehab. Mm-hmm. And CRFM, the reason CRFM is involved and the reason we're doing the survey as well is to develop the contingency operations, given we have a failure before we can get it fixed. That's the CRFM nexus, so that we have ahead of time we develop what we're going to do during the fish passage season for the fish.
Well, how does that fit? I mean, I understand going down there they can set up these spill patterns, but the surveys themselves.
We need that for the models, to update the models, make sure they're accurate.
I see.
We're going to update the bathymetry. Yep. We're going to update the Bonneville model with that data.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know the major rehab funding schedule, do you?
No.
I mean, how that works.
How does that get familiar with
Mike, is there any talk about it being an emergency and going after the funds directly?
It's got to be a dam safety issue, and it's in the hopper with all the other dam safety issues, and then, you know, That would make the emergency.
But you have, but nobody's talking about it.
No.
The question I think I'm not in advanced stage, but I understand a little bit about it. They're going to ask the question, if the spillway apron fails, what is the risk to the dam? And there are some procedures, and there are some models, and there are some checklists, you might say, that dam safety goes through that says, you know, they might say, yeah, let it fail, and but the dam's going to be okay. So what's the emergency?
Well, there will be an emergency.
You know, or on the other side, we can say, the apron fails, and we might get further erosion by hydraulic action if we continue this. It might work, its, the erosion might work its way back up under, start undermining more, and therefore, you know, so there's a whole...
The other part of that
is a gallery.
Yeah.
That's the safety. I don't know how Walla Walla District made of the low mow erosion and emergency.
Lori?
I think that one of the reasons why we need to complete this work and get the contingencies done is it could very well be the contingencies would say that we're in violation of what we're supposed to be doing for the buy-up and for spill at bond.
That's what I was going to say.
Right now we don't have that. We can't concretely say that if this happens, we are going to violate our mandate to spill an acceptable spill pattern.
Right, that's,
and if it comes back, the sense of urgency of this work will be elevated. So we need this information to be able to put that level, to quantify how urgent it is to that piece of our business.
If you make standards with this fierce test, then that thing breaks and we have a weird scope pattern, I would say you're no longer moving standards
and that's
outside of it.
Right.
Until this is done, until we're back to status quo, you're outside of that. It just can't go on.
I mean, I think, you know, Gary, me, and Dennis have worked on this enough over the years on scope patterns that we're not trying to say we're going to predict anything, but I think anything that falls short of what we've done before, we've already tried something else. Yeah, it would be a compromise. We've already tried. I think we knew when the spillway was in trouble, so to speak, a couple of years ago when we did that stuff. So we tried to shut down areas, and we already kind of had some precursor of what we're in for.
And we have such wonderful spill survival already.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, Gene
wouldn't hurt anything.
You wouldn't hurt it, right?
Yeah. I mean, Gene understands, and I mean, from the JSATS work we've been doing at Bonneville, we're seeing a degradation of survival over the past several years of, you know, fish going through the spillway.
Something's going on.
Is it? I mean, if you rank the routes that a fish can go through the dam for the Chinook, spillway is the worst. It's on the bottom.
Below turbines.
And it's decreasing the
bottom.
Is it? Are your injuries or your mortality?
Shimon's right.
We're seeing things on the spillway over the last year.
Talk to Jason.
Yeah, Lori.
One of the things that there's a lot to come on this. One of the issues that didn't go through my brain until recently is the 14 and 7-foot deflectors that we have out there. And what may be going on, and one of the things that's going on, is that the flow characteristics of those interacting jets may be providing us a behavior, a hydraulic condition that we didn't quantify correctly or understand.
You're talking about that in context of the holes or in context of the survival? I'm concerned about the survival aspects of that.
I don't know, and we haven't done the study. I think part of our issues with our banks at Bonneville right now, and with some of the is due to these potentially. We need to do the evaluation. My point is that we may need to do some thinking about some hydraulic evaluation, these two deflector elevations, and do we need to provide a better flow care? Is that giving us the problem? Maybe it's survival related. Maybe it's erosion related. Not on the OGs because it's not going to be acting up there, but it could be. And which is why this survey, this next, this in November, in October, is so critical because we put the most river since 2000, since we put those 7-foot deflectors out there. So do we have a dynamic that's occurring that we just haven't properly accounted for? And it may be a survival issue as well as a spillway issue, and I don't know. I'm just saying it's something we need to investigate a little bit. We don't know yet.
So a lot of different things are going to be happening here in October and November, getting us to a point where be able to make decisions, answer questions like Jim has about, you know, what is a repair plan? Are we going to need repair? Are we going to need new spill patterns? What's going to happen for spill in 2012?
So please keep us posted on it.
Yeah.
And if you, especially on the funding needs, because some of us could potentially help with that if you need special assistance with asking for help with Congress.
Thanks. There's a second part of your question, and that was, what are we doing about other spillways?
Are there other spillways in the Portland district?
No. Well, so there is a study, in CRFM-funded study, Walla Walla's lead on it. I hope you guys are aware of it, but it's a system-wide spillway reliability evaluation, and I believe they have a draft coming out soon for your review.
Yep.
So, and I think that was a buyout action. Part of the buyout.
It physically goes project to project, and reliability, what it takes to make it reliable, what the project should have, what their needs are. It's pretty comprehensive. Yeah.
In the Walla Walla district, Gary, no, we've got a lot of problems with NARA, but I think we're going to have problems at Ice Harbor. It's just a matter of time, because we use that spillway to every 3 days, we have to go from
constantly change.
You know, change all the gates. You know, we have to do this, and it goes on and on.
Yeah.
That's a good point. No?
Yeah.
So
the gates, because we're stuck into this doing the two treatments that we compared.
But it's the gate reliability that works.
Like a
rollover nightmare.
Yeah. So yeah, you just keep rolling over, and so you're tripling almost the amount of wear on those whole mechanisms.
Yeah.
So that's the
canary is a problem too. And then we have potential issue with the Dells.
Yeah, we're in diving
still
the Dells.
Basin, but then maybe downstream near the wall, that's got to be.
They're inspecting that here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Today?
But there's no today.
So far, preliminary results we got from the divers are today, but the hydro survey showed little to no change from the previous year on the north side of the wall.
Good. That's the spot I saw some hydraulics that looked a little odd.
I went to the, drove by and went past the dam and went back twice.
Yeah, just like, whoa.
But anyway, preliminary results are actually showing little to no change. No.
There's a lot of water in there. I don't know how much we ever actually looked at that.
So everything actually is really good at the Dalles right now.
Good.
And they're diving it today.
That's the good news report
good news
for today. Moving on. Okay, any more questions about Bonneville survey and modeling plans? Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Lori. All right, number two, the avian predation actions. Sandra's here. Talk about avian.
Yeah, so we have a worded map here, and the contractor will be on site probably not next week, but the week after. The construction schedule has the island completed by March 1st. So we will be in time for the next nesting season. And then we get to move on to San Francisco and the island that we're trying to construct in San Francisco Bay. So we've been working on, I mentioned last FEDERWIG meeting that we were talking about a pier removal in the Aga Vista area, that they're removing the piers for creosote issues, and they're talking about trying to replace it with something because there are turns currently on those piers. The problem is that the pier, existing pier, is 3,000 square feet, and we need about 8 times that. So other agencies are concerned about shading issues. We wouldn't do fill, but we would be adding some pier-type system, and I guess there's shading issues for...
Right,
an old aircraft carrier we can park there or something?
Trust me. I thought, hey now. essentially, not one of the floating islands that we've used in the past.
So where are we in San Francisco? It sounds like we're nowhere.
We are working on, and we're also looking at Hayward. All
right.
So, problems with Hayward is...
Yeah,
Hayward, the East Bay Regional Park, has not been super responsive.
I know.
So
didn't you say last time they were wanting also support dollars? You
they,
know,
want
do anything,
support
they want
dollars
support
dollars for...
So
that was difficult.
We're really nowhere in San Francisco.
At this point. Yeah. I am working on changing that. We are trying to get something done by the end of this fiscal year in San Francisco.
So this is becoming an issue.
Yes.
Among the folks who are talking credits and stuff. So my advice to them today was that we're nowhere with another marine resource location. It sounds like that was right.
Yeah.
So Washington's basically snubbed us on Puget Sound locations.
Yeah, they've... Is there any other thoughts that you have about the San Francisco Bay? I mean, I know it's a highly desirable area.
You can fund me to go down and look.
Hey, I haven't gone yet, and I've been to Malheur 3 times, okay?
Go back to your office.
Nice.
I'm next.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, you know, I just think that you do need a marine resource. You need a marine site.
Yeah. I really don't think that's necessary, because I don't think even one site's even out here has got its problem with resources, food resources, and drying up. It's not the best. Yeah, I think that's a concern also with complete failure of East Sand Island. You know, you get a couple more of those, some of the older birds may decide East Sand's not what it would be.
Yeah, we'll see. That's an interesting one.
It's Mother Nature's push-pull versus push, I mean, versus us, so...
Yeah.
So we still are working.
Yeah, I urge you to still continue to try to get a marine location somewhere. San Francisco Bay is probably the best. Although, you know, I mean, there's Puget, Everett, different things up there too that have proved to be pretty good locations in the past.
Yeah, just
the birds show that they'll go there, but I realize there's political issues there too.
I
think that Hayward still, to me, is still the location that I would push the hardest on. Because it sounds like the folks down there are still willing to do this. They're just, there's some political issues, but not, you know, pushback from anybody like Cal Fish and Game, anybody like that.
Not yet.
Not yet, yeah. So we can just strike one.
So that's where we're at. We have not given up in San Francisco Bay. But
okay.
So that's where we're at with the island construction.
All right. Estuary monitoring?
None.
We're not doing any?
We're done. We're done for the season.
Yeah, done for the season. Any more questions? It's good to have a bird representative here.
Yeah, as long as we have
Everett. Yeah.
What is the size of the habitat that you're shrinking down to at East Sand this next year?
For
the terns.
For the terns, it's 2 to 1. So Malheur is 1 acre. So the most we could decrease would be half an acre.
So what will the total size be then?
I believe last year it was 2 or 3. It was the year before it was 3.1. It was 2. So
eight and a half
next year.
Still
large enough. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we so far moved about 4,000 birds off the island, you know, which out of the population really doesn't amount to a whole lot so far, so.
What was the 10% reduction? What was the 10% reduction? That's worth a beer.
Well, there's still 90%, but we're still there.
Still.
of Cormorant's management plan?
The draft management plan, I believe, is going to division and being routed to other agencies on Friday.
Okay. Thanks.
Welcome, Tom. Any more questions for the bird lady?
I know so much about birds.
Thanks, Sandra.
All right. Yeah, thanks very much.
That's what nice mechanical engineers can do.
Nice work getting the island built.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, it's not built yet, but nice work getting the contract.
Talking about the island being built.
Yeah. It was a challenge. I mean, her water went out. She had to change design.
Different methods. Boat out.
You guys do have the schedule set up that since Mount Hill looks like it's going to be done, Roby's group will be notified early to get down to an acre and a half. How are you guys?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you guys got the communication lines taken care of on that.
I asked her while she was still here, but yeah.
You guys are smart.
Put that in the notes. We need to ask Sandra about contacting Roby.
I don't know if it needs to be her or just maybe some of the core colleagues.
Paul do that.
I'm sure he's the last step
on
that. I just don't want to be surprised.
Yeah. No surprises.
That would be a bad surprise.
We can
okay, moving on. Lower Columbia River Survival Study. Mike.
Am I on that?
Well, you know, Brad.
Brad's actually
Mike,
who wants in?
It's your fault. No, that's what happens when you put your names on things. Brad's not here. He did that on purpose.
I haven't even thought of doing an update.
Oh, it is like
that's okay.
You got proposals. We're going over them at SRWG.
Next Thursday.
Next week. What we're looking at.
Do you guys have a
Chinook steelhead and sub-yearling Chinook at John Day again. Subs at the Dells and subs at Bonneville, I think, is what he's got plans for.
I would, you know, I would hope we'd have to look at what we have this year to actually.
So October this month, we should get a report on the dam survival.
That's really all we're all out, yeah,
for all three for spring.
Waiting for this year, yep. You know, and stay tuned.
Yep.
Two questions. Do you guys have an off-track in Bonneville if you come back and can't, because of spillway erosion, you can't operate spillways like you normally would? We just not do Bonneville?
Yeah, I would say yes.
That makes sense.
I don't know why we should if we can't operate it the way we want to operate it for performance.
Yeah. This is Chris. Chris. Yeah, if we don't do the Lower Snake, but we do McGarry in conjunction with the Lower Columbia.
That was what I was wondering if we could shoot up to that way.
That is the plan.
That is what I'm saying.
It's McNary through, I said John Dad, it's McNary through Bonneville.
That's what I was thinking. Through Bonneville.
I don't know if you guys have decided that yet or there's been a lot of discussion on it. Lower Snake.
Yeah. The outfall pipe done, which is scheduled to be done in the cuttings. We'll get the operation figured out. We got a 75% implementation plan draft. We're going to get back to them within a week to get an IDL. That way, everything out in excruciating detail. So, we just put the operation in. And they're pretty well set up here. So, yeah.
So that will mean we'll get fish at McNary. Yeah, so that means we're going to have a bypass. Okay. Yeah. That's just something to think about. We've got a return line issue and stuff. We're going to be collecting fish.
We have to get that inspected and blessed off or whatever. On my way back to Walla Walla, I actually have to stop in and see how close they can get to the water because everybody is like through a pier to those guys right now.
Okay.
They're doing the other water ones, which is only one, maybe two.
Right.
And so I have to go give them a blessing, I guess. So you got to wait till November 1st and then remember the steelhead numbers and steelhead steelhead that are on the Washington side.
So I've dropped down too.
Yeah, I've dropped them down, but right now they're higher than we need. 2009, 5,400 passing.
And then Bonneville's numbers dropped, but not.
Yeah, they're still. It should be dropping. Previous years, yeah, they dropped right October 1st or whatever. It just constantly went down. Right now, we're at another peak.
Okay, for some reason. I just don't think that's probably not a big issue.
It won't be a big issue, I think, by November.
It's still good. Still, I can wait.
Yep. Well, they'll go there.
They'll go the other way, and they're not moving in that direction. They're not, we're not talking winter steelhead.
Right. Yeah, so. Yeah, they're just pushing to get in to drill those piers, you know, as close as November is. They want to drill them next week if we let them, but we said in November, so I'm just telling them how close to the water
they can go.
They're supposed to have a survey by tomorrow of where the holes are, so how big the rig is on this. It's on its way, so the plan is to do the study, survival study with the port industry.
So there's a couple of loose ends that we'll need to address when we get the results, and that's operations, how we operate.
Well, we were assuming 60% spring spill and 60%.
So I know. So they are John Day, 30 or 40 or both again, and the same
for
all summer.
Okay, so you guys.
I was talking about being hairy. Yeah. Oh, John Day. Oh,
wow. So John Day, you guys could do a double treatment if we had to again.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, I think he always grabbed us here to make sure, but.
I
think so.
Did you put in double
treatment? No. I mean, part of the problem is the rollover, and so how does that work when, you know, are we able to select a treatment if we, you know, all agree or not? I would think so. But if we all agree, has always been the problem. So.
Yeah, so the dysfunctional family that we are.
I think John Day is that project's used to balance the load on the grid.
It is.
My understanding
is.
And consequently, you couldn't have a set 40 or a set 30 if you wanted to, because it bounces around too much. And so you're going to get a mix of both, is the way it looks like to me.
In the summer, I think we've done pretty well with 40.
Yeah.
In the spring, maybe it's a problem. I don't know. We haven't really tried it in the spring yet. But in the spring, the flows get too high.
Well, it's going to be 30. We can't hold 30. In the spring, yeah.
Right.
Just don't maintain it.
But we've had 40 was the operation in the summer from 2003 on, I think, is when we locked that in.
Yeah.
And I think we've done pretty well at holding 40.
So two other questions. So back to Bonneville, if we don't use the fish at Bonneville, what would the plan be with those fish? Are we going to try to make Jim happy and use those for lower estuary stuff, or what do you guys think?
Haven't.
I mean,
we are carrying tags over from last year because we canceled the summer study, so we've got, I forget what, 1,600 tags, or maybe it's more than that. We've got some tags, and then we'll be purchasing additional tags to do, you know, next year's study, and those tags are supposed to have a year-long shelf life, and so we can carry them over to the next year. And that's what we have to do. That may be what we do.
Yeah, I mean,
I think to get in and do the lower river study, you're going to have to, you know, if you're gonna, it's not something I think you just go do last minute. You know, get some planning, a proposal, some mobilization time. So by summertime or spring, eventually. And why is Bonneville? Why are we worried about Bonneville again?
Spill it. Did you have to shut off spill?
Based on this survey we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, if you turn out, you have to shut off.
I don't feel like that's super likely, but...
I concur. I don't think it's very likely. I don't think it's likely. I don't think it's very likely.
But likely enough, it's all...
It's captured in the notes three times.
The plan is to be able to elevate it with a sense of importance to get the funding. My real reason for pushing the contingency plan is that the importance of getting the funding to make the fix. It isn't that I think it's likely to happen. I think if it was going to have happened, it would have happened this spill season. And we don't see water in the gallery.
So there's two parts in the apron cracking. I think there's an analysis done that really raised the flag that said the apron's ready to break off. It shouldn't be supporting that much undercut. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find
just
out.
Just like B-branch is only seven times over.
You know, that's been there before. It's been there since 1938, and they had to fix it once before quite a few years ago.
What's
so
that?
B-branch.
Oh, B-branch, that hole?
Yeah.
You got to run it out.
Is it run it out once before? Okay.
Yeah. You look at the old pictures, they didn't have that area filled in.
Well, there's that
below there.
Yeah.
there's a cap there that's, you know, shuts flow away from it, that actually helps a nice little form behind it.
Okay,
question,
Bill.
Back to the studies. When we're planning on doing the Lower Snake projects too, so those, many of those fish are going to survive to get to McNary. Mm-hmm. So they'll be part of, can they still be part of the test subjects or going downriver?
Well, they'll look to see if there's a difference in survival for fish that come from further upstream. Uh-huh. They can do a statistical test to determine whether they can pool them or not.
Okay.
And so
maybe for McNary, you know, maybe not bottom.
The tags are going to be substantially smaller, is my understanding. It'll be about 0.2 grams. We may very well not have a tag effect like we had when it was 0.43 grams. Half the size, half the weight.
So that's what, yeah, that, now I recall the tag effects builds up the further these fish travel.
I think, yeah, time in river seems to be, mm-hmm. yeah. that's at least what most people were thinking.
Yeah, that's what shows up, so, yeah. That's why it's maybe bottom up, maybe not, but it's maybe up in the river or something.
Okay.
Some use.
So are leftover tags? They're the 0.3.
0.43.
And then the ones new this year are even smaller.
So with the new contract,
yeah.
I thought they were 0.3, but whatever. They're substantially smaller and less expensive.
Yeah,
with two different tags, so this is not going
to. Well, they don't have to go.
Someone had to.
I was just bringing it up.
We'll land the old tag.
There you go.
Sorry,
they're smaller fish.
Smaller fish.
So what?
She gets
like a baby.
What's your point?
Tell me the big tag.
You guys have the big ones.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yep. So, are you guys going to talk about maybe using the bigger tags and say the big steelhead?
Yes.
And small fish?
That goes into the study design consideration.
That's what I'm saying.
We recognize that you don't want to use the big tags to make something.
I just smile somehow. And then two, we've been hearing some rumblings from like certain researchers, not you guys, but Katana, about complaining about GBT issues at the projects this last year. We're wondering, are you guys going to report your single release survivals as well as your composites?
Sure.
That'd be good.
Yeah, they always, they're always there.
It's just sometimes hard to find. It's just sometimes hard to find a single release survival.
Well, Katama, specific fish at Bonneville, that was the issue. Katama had fish that they were collecting late in the season that were gassed up and they couldn't use them.
Well,
they were releasing
the shallow tank, you basically verified.
Yeah, I mean, they were what they were doing and how they were holding the fish was biasing their results.
I know.
So
I'm just saying, when you start getting rumblings and you get researchers start complaining about the GBT monitoring program and that kind of stuff, we need to go do diligence to make sure we're keeping track of that.
We've been over backwards with them, showing the protocol that we have compared to how they're, you know, they've always tried to mirror image, you know, our protocol, what they're doing, and they deviated from that at Bonneville. So,
anyway, it's not worth spending any more time on because we're closing them out after this year. Well, as long as Bonneville follows through on the council's recommendation.
Yeah, because that's never
we always
that's never
do.
Not
with me.
Sean's like, why did that come in anyway? He's an OSU fan. He likes to get beat up on.
Oh,
I'm going to. I'm going to the game this weekend.
I mean, they're going to win Saturday.
Bring one fan.
One fan.
We'll get one.
Bad enough morning as it is.
I'll alterate
you. I was there last week.
Okay. Any more questions on that one? I think Mike may have covered already the transmitter downsizing. But.
Yes, I didn't, but I think I'm prepared for it either. Other than I know they're on track and that
0.2.
Retracting.
No, that's not. See, the 0.2 or 0.3. That's this year's tag. Is small.
Yeah, we're talking
adjustment. So we have a new contract that got awarded this last fall for JSAS tags, and it's a one battery tag instead of a two battery tag, and that's the change in the weight of that tag. As I said, they're also less expensive, which is good, so both smaller and cheaper with all the specs the same. The downsize is you get to the injectable size tag, and I think the current goal they have is 12 millimeter by 3 millimeter, I think, is the dimensions that we're shooting
for. Yeah, it's half a millimeter larger than a pit tag, wider than a pit tag, same length. And we're talking, what, 2014.
Yeah. So there was a recent visit, I think some of you folks were there, and,
yes.
And it looked like looks they good. Were successful on all the fronts, the battery, the ASIC, the coating, the packaging,
and all
the
guys in the same building doing the work. That's
yeah. Good team. And I heard they're starting to kind of debate and argue against each other and stuff, which is just normal for that kind of R&D team. It's healthy. Your ASIC takes too much power, your battery doesn't have enough power, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Your college team sucks!
You can't throw the ball.
So it's looking really promising, I think.
All right, moving on to number four. I just handed around, Sean is in the sweat lodge as well. His performance rating was low, so Mike sent him to the sweat lodge. So, but anyway, he gave us a great Fitterwing handout, and so I can't wait to go next year.
They're both coming back.
Yeah, I haven't sweated enough. I'll come back like George Medina. All thin, tan. All right, so anyway, number five, the John Day Adult Pit Detectors kind of overview. There is a paragraph, number four, that that Sean put together. Talks about the PDT, what's going on there. It's very specific to some of the stuff they did at McNary with the PDT and meeting with PSMFC. There's an alternatives report that's going to be coming out early November. Sean's going to be wanting to talk to the group at the December, I think, Fitterwig about alternatives report comments and then alternatives report. Also of note is that Sean is eager to work with NOAA about the benefits of the survival estimates. So that's, I'm just...
Benefits of the survival estimates?
Well, it says here, significantly... Jointly wanted to assess whether and how pit systems at the Dalles and John Day will significantly improve inter dam survival estimates.
I'd
so,
like to be involved in that too. Okay. Whatever team or Gary, you know, if you guys have I know you have a schedule for both installations, but based on some of the analysis that Paulson's been doing under our contract, I'd like to see us. I'd like to see the Dalles be a priority. So,
this is I think
that's
the direction
we're
given.
Yeah,
actually, that's right.
What's
the direction was to do the Dalles. If you can't do both, something to
do Dalles. Do the Dalles first. Yeah. Good.
These pit tag detectors will not improve Dalles survival. One bit.
That's not what it says.
I'll tell you that right now.
But
that's what it says here.
Yeah. Oh, does it?
It says interdam survival estimates.
It's the
estimates.
It may improve the estimates. Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry. You're still in the Midwest time, aren't you?
Yeah. So he wants you to be proactive.
So I think you're doing that or a little bit of that. That's fine. Meanwhile, we're going to move forward with what can we build and what's feasible and how much does it cost. Sounds like you're just going to continue with both and you'll have all the options laid out in front of you and we'll have to make some choices. Seems likely the Dalles is going to be the most feasible and the least expensive anyway. But.
So what was the...
just do it.
The $15 million estimate for
the elevated
what
section at John Day to do John Day, because when we're doing John
because
Day North Ladder redesign,
supporting,
that
was the issue.
Okay. Just cut into the flume to make it so hydraulically invisible.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of these other updates and stuff are going to be covered in Natalie's, so I don't want to steal her thunder as well. So. Moving on to number six, Lamprey Program. Hey. Natalie. Natalie's got a handout, I think,
handout
for folks.
Yes. So let me pass that around. Oh, that's me. Sorry. I have some different scripts. Okay.
Is there the signature?
Point a finger.
That's all.
You and I need to talk.
Hey Gary, that signature sheet there. Can you pass that around? Anybody who hasn't signed the attendance list, please do. Thank you. We really want to know that you were here. I do. Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify one thing on Sean's. He handed you. On the back, it says upcoming meetings. October 13th and 14th actually was scrapped because there's an SRWG meeting conflict there. So it is now, we're only addressing three critical issues on November 2nd in the afternoon from 12 to 4, basically budget issues. So if that's of interest to you, that you'll know where it is and when it is. Okay. So let me start in on lamprey. So on the very bottom of the table I provided here, we have a lot of meetings coming up. So I wanted to let you know about them because we're having struggles with salmon meetings and trying to meet both needs. So we're going to have the meeting I already mentioned on November 2nd. Then we had a juvenile lamprey workshop. What was that? August 18th-ish, 19th. And we're doing the follow-up meeting on the 3rd of November at CritFic. Then the McNary group is going down to Erdick, the 7th through the 10th, and I think some of you are headed down with that. Then we're going to do our next bi-monthly for the whole team, December 8th and 9th, and then January 12th and 13th. And my hope is that we will set up quarterly meetings next year so that we'll be on Tammy's calendar. We won't get bumped because we're struggling to get everybody to, with all everybody's crazy schedules to our meetings.
When was your first meeting?
What? I'm sorry.
7th, I think.
November
7th. Yeah. Okay. And you'll need to call Mark Smith about that.
No,
he's coordinating.
Sure.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay. Okay. So under the issues, we anticipate that the Yakima Nation is going to bring us a proposal basically asking us to do translocation efforts at our ladders. And this is above and beyond the MOA. So it's a little bit of a struggle for us because we've been asked to do the memorandum of agreement and there are specific items like three overarching items, 14 adult and 5 juvenile. So basically what I've done is I've asked for division's help in this. I've asked Rock Peters and Dave Cluxton to help facilitate this change because what they want us to do is actually fund ladder modifications to enable them to collect easier. And that's a change. And so they're going to brief it to, I think that's going to be one of the topics they're going to brief to General McMahon in December. So I'm just letting you all know that that's how we're trying to tactfully work through that issue with the region. So are there any questions about the upper level, bigger picture 10-year plan before I go into the specifics? Okay. In Bonneville, Washington Shores, we're in the process of completing the 60% plans and specs for the gravity flow. So we anticipate that that will be out to you sometime roughly the October 17th. So Sean will work on an official letter and we'll figure out how to download. I got a call, I think it was yesterday, they're trying to eliminate our FTP site. Oh, of all things. But anyway, so I don't know when that's going to take place and how we will work through that to get you large, jobs that are 10 megabytes or more.
It's passenger pigeon.
What?
Passenger pigeon.
Yeah, it's craziness. So
put them on hormones, though, to carry the big...
That's one advantage to being docchecked, because if it's a review, we can put those big files in. Yeah. So you may not want to use docchecked, but it may be how you're going to get our files.
Yeah, that may be right. That's a good point, Lori.
Sorry.
It's...
I think that's just...
Yeah, it's craziness. I guess there was some safety breach or something that occurred on the FTP site.
So can you send those out at the
Well, what I think I'll do,
I
think we'll try to post them to her site, or they're working on, I don't know if the site has been fixed or not. So
Tim is working under the...
So we used to do it this way. We used to send hard copies, and that's a waste of paper, maybe. But we used to also send out a PCD.
Here's your pretty fitter website.
We could post it there if you want. I don't know which would be the easiest way. We could put them on disk too.
We'll get disk mailers and mail them out.
Yeah, I mean if that works fine.
You want disks? I mean, is that what people would prefer?
Get it through,
if we can't get it on a site somewhere.
There's two things. One is our email is just getting full of these multi.
Will they let you put that big a document there though?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we'll probably do. We'll put it here and we'll give you the link, and then it won't be a big. It won't be a big email. It'll just be the link.
What?
How long before that gets?
It's done. In?
Well, this
it's
is through
done.
Division, right?
It's through RCC.
Yeah. So yeah, we
we'll
can
just
work
get
it.
Like we send them with a cover letter, and they can get on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So great.
Thanks,
so
Annie.
You're
look,
welcome.
Look for that email. Okay.
Must be Fedora. I never.
Okay, and just a detail about the gravity flow. So. So way back when we were asked to, when we had the bid bust and then we were asked to redo and do the gravity flow, we also said that we would come back to the Fitterwick group and say, is it feasible with respect to, you know, with the pumps were going to be so much money, is gravity flow going to be comparable or more money? If it was, that was going to be an issue, but it's less money as you really probably had thought. But we wanted to confirm that it would be less money than the pumps, and it is, so we're going to proceed forward with that, taking that to full design. Any concerns about that? Or?
I didn't know that it was still an issue like that.
We thought we were going way past the pumps.
Okay, well, we wanted to make sure that...
Probably best not to even mention it.
Okay. Well, it's out there. It's out there. So it's been confirmed. Okay. Okay, are there any other questions about Lamprey? Okay. On adult salmon and steelhead studies, I don't have any change. We're going to, if I remember correctly, I wish Sean was here. I think we're going to do a PNNL transducer removal study.
Almost so at the Dells.
Yeah.
That's not a study. We're going to pull the transducers.
Pull them all. Later, okay.
But then you're going to talk this afternoon about the Kelts at Bonneville and what we do there. Right.
That's Bob Wertheimer.
There is that. Right. Is there anything else?
For adult salmon and steelhead for us? I think it's just downstream steelhead
that's
passage.
That's all I would do this year.
I think that's all there is.
Okay.
Plus some cleanup from the Dallas work.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. On John Day North fish ladder, so we're finishing the exit again. We had another window issue, but we fixed that again. And right now we're on the entrance. So I think I already mentioned to you that we did the award. So we awarded the fish entrance work to Sladen on the 14th. So that was ahead of schedule. It was supposed to go out this year. Would have been like this week. But now we went out the 14th. So that's very helpful. We're going to have the pre-con on the 12th out at John Day. And let's see, is there anything else? It was around 5.8 million. We thought it was going to be in the 10 to 15 million range, and then we were able to open up to full and open competition, and that brought our price down, which was very helpful in many aspects in our schedule and everything else. So more to come on that. Then
it was awarded on the 14th
of
September.
September, right.
Good.
Yeah?
To Sladen?
To Sladen.
Same group that's doing Minto.
Correct.
Well, they have a lot of work.
They do. Yeah.
You do. That's what I've heard.
We hope. Yes, we hope.
They installed the flow deflector, John Day, and they did a good job.
They did.
Of course.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was good. I was saying Minto.
They went by it. They're working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it's going well.
Yeah.
I don't know any specifics, but that's what I've heard. Yeah, from construction staff. So.
Were they called something different back in those days?
I don't know. Anyway, okay, so on the AWS pumps construction, so that's the water, pumps provide the water to the entrance. That's ongoing construction, and sometime, I don't know that the date is firm, but we anticipate that the electrical building, which is being put together in Vancouver, Washington, and put on a barge, will be up at John Day North on Halloween. So if you happen to be in the area and you want to see a big lift,
actually,
it's going to be a major, major deal.
What time?
It'd probably be an all-day event.
October 31?
October 31 is the date, right now.
All the buttons.
So it's, what we've done is we have 6 variable frequency drives. That runs the pumps.
Oh.
And then the transformer and then all of the related electrical work in a building. And it was all fabricated. Well, the pieces came in like from Denver and Virginia and Wilsonville. They fabricated it all in Vancouver. It's now actually being, they're working on it right now as we speak and testing it. And then they're going to put it on a barge and bring it upriver. And then they're going to take a big, probably 100-ton crane and lift it into place onto the concrete foundation that's already out there.
Can you send out you might be interested in this. We're going to be there anyway.
Okay.
If it doesn't happen, I'd like to know.
Okay, so how broadly do you want me to send an email?
Have Sean send it out.
Have Sean.
Way.
Okay,
make
Sean.
Make an action or
an
action. Then you'll need to get back to Sean on who's coming. So
yes, because we'll need to put you on the security clearance.
Yeah.
Through the guard.
He'll put instructions in the email.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so is there anything else on John Day North?
You mentioned here about women with those LPS.
Yeah, and I haven't had really a lot of time to flesh that out with Sean. I thought we were keeping it.
So,
but he said more to come. So I'm going to stick with the more to come right now, and because I'm a little concerned about that myself.
Yeah, I need to go back and check back at the home front to see if the Monterey crowd is aware and has approved it as far as I'm going to get the job.
Yeah, so let's say that's a tentative right now until we work out the details.
On the north entrance,
the new entrance modifications we're making.
Not at.
Yeah, so I have it highlighted here. So. Okay. The only other thing I'm going to add to John Day North is that we. And you guys already approved the in-water work period. So what we did was we were trying to provide. The AWS pump people more time to get the 4 pumps done. We've opened up out-of-service pump 4 early so that they can go in and look at it and see, kind of basically do a demo of how would you take it out and what is involved. And that happened, September 19th? Jim Calamon and I went in and looked at that. So we've also provided them the opportunity to go into out-of-service pump 3. So we're working through those details. We're hoping that they can get into that before the in-water work period. And then so that will really help them to get 4 pumps done by March 31st. We've also added time on the other end to match up with Sladen's contract to March 9th. So
you're talking about South Shore pumps, right?
North Shore.
Yeah,
no, north. Yeah. Okay. So basically we went from... There are South Shore pumps,
yes,
but this is not South
Shore
pumps.
Okay. No,
yeah.
That's why we got the double outage this year.
Right, exactly. Right. So we had December 1st through March 30th. Well, basically for the contractor, December 1st through February 28th. Now we have November 14th through March 9th. So we've provided them almost 3 more weeks to try to enable them to be successful in getting those 4 pumps up and running when you need them. So we're going out of our way to try to make this work. And it's... Push and shove all the way. So are there any more questions on John Day? I have 2 other little points that I don't have down here. Okay, so just some on the side work that I'm doing is I've been asked to lead the Bradford Island, Cascade Island reliability work for operations and maintenance. And so basically we're out with a task order to an A&E to develop the 5 critical aspects of what could go wrong at the Bradford Island ladder and what is the estimate to fix it. So we're working on that, but that's not CRFM money, but that directly affects you guys. And then the second one that Lori knows a lot about is that we're working on the emergency work to fix Bradford Island. We have a gaping scour hole, and we provided the notice to proceed yesterday to Fowler Construction Company, and they're due to get that all the riprap grouting done by Halloween also. So those are two important things that affect fish and you guys. So are there any questions?
Emergency repair for the gates now?
It's, no, it's a ladder.
It's the B-branch ladder.
The B-branch ladder has a big scour hole on the side.
So now we're talking October 31 to get it done.
Right, exactly.
So
it's in line with the outage that they have scheduled for B2.
And B2 comes down
November 1st or 2nd, something like that. Right?
No. Washington Shore goes to Orpheus Flow on the 14th.
Oh, the 14th.
Well, there's, I think that part of the work, some of the critical work is being done by October 15th. So, and I don't know that.
Concrete placement is supposed to be done by October 15th. The rest of the work, the riprap placement and things like that, I think has to be done by the end of the month.
Right.
But they're not
going
to have a B-branch up and running.
The coordination was to leave B branch out the whole time.
This year.
I know. It's been a nightmare. It is. Yeah, I'm trying to remember all the different pieces of this thing.
B branch is down until 28th of February.
I remember that. And the concrete pour, is that going to be in the water or not in the water?
It's on the bank. Dry. Yeah, it's done on the drive. Yeah.
The concrete placement, the way things are working out, and it by the 15th is what? The 15th is a Saturday. My guess is concrete placement will actually take place the 15th, 16th, and 17th because we have a better shot at keeping our low tail waters that time frame.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tail water dependent, and so my guess is it's going to slip a little bit for that they can pour because BPA has suggested Saturdays, Sunday, Mondays are our best days.
So Lori is actually meeting daily on this to discuss the tailwater issues, and we're working on getting a weekly conference call, construction conference call on it. So, any other questions for me related to my jobs? Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, moving on to agenda item number 7. The Tom Lohr's Fish Unit Memorial Trash Rake. So, update on that. The previous. Well, here's the update.
He said.
The original PM, Captain Lee, retired from the Army Corps of Engineers 2 weeks ago. So, it's been reassigned. Pat Dyke is now the.
I'm retired. I'm sorry.
Captain Lee. You never met him.
No.
You never
met him once.
Met him once. Yeah, yeah. He was the PM, but he's retired now and left the Corps. So the new PM is Pat Dyke. The technical lead is Ben Flannan. Currently, the PDT has pulled together enough information to move forward with finalizing an alternative report and whether we do an in-house design or if this is a design build. And there's several, I guess, the PDT has come up with several, like three or four off-the-shelf type of systems that can be put together with as just a off-the-shelf type of design. In conjunction with this, if we change the trash rack size to lamprey spec, that'll be modified as well. I think there's also inside of that concept is a trash boom, something to alleviate large debris from settling out in front of the fish units as well. So right now the PDT is just getting back up on their feet. FY12 funding moved from FY11 to start talking about pulling together the alternatives report.
And the narrower trash rack size, is that also compatible with the off the shelf design?
Yes, it would be.
What is the spacing on the bar?
The current spacing on the bar is 1 inch. And I think there's
the 3/4.
Yeah. The 5/8 or something like that. So we'd have to go to 5/8 or
make sure it's a bit no larger than the diffuser.
Yeah.
So well, it should be better going smaller. It's gonna kind of be 5/8.
So there's some hydraulics work that needs to be done because if you go with smaller trash rack sizes we block the couple of the fish units, the lower racks are blocked, and they were intentionally blocked to fill in, so they have to expand those. There's going to have to be maybe some dredging.
Dredging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there also is a bathymetry survey along with that when we come out to do Bonneville, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, those bathymetry guys are going to run up and do the bathymetry in the B24 bay as well with that contract. That's what Kevin Perletti said. He's added that on or something like that. Randy, leave that out.
Okay.
That's what there's been email traffic back and forth about.
Is that, is that the before Condon?
I didn't touch it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's so much before Condon. I think they wanted to see something, but I think they want to see how much, what they've got in front of the fish units right now.
They're planning to do it.
Huh?
When is the schedule?
Week of October 17th.
So I think it was prior to Condon.
It is prior.
Yeah.
But Pacific Corps doesn't want to use that survey. They'll use the old survey from last year.
In order for the Condit stuff.
For Condit stuff, yes.
Yes, we want to use the most updated.
Okay. Any questions on that? All right. B1 Turbine Ops. There hasn't been any progress on that other than the projected B1 turbine ops. We've been using those several times under several of these operations to help facilitate moving more water. So we have been exercising that and coordinating that through RCC to run those units at best geometry when we need to be able to pass more water for special ops. So. All right, moving on to agenda number 9. This is all of George's good stuff.
Got a couple of handouts here, actually a handout. We'll start with the B2FGE. I think we're on target for completion of that 60% report by the end of October, with the idea that we would have it fully completed by the end of this calendar year. Some of this I've already reported the last time that we met, but we've got a very robust CFD model that I think we're incorporating into the PNNL model at large. The PNNL model is going to incorporate our model and basically we're going to be able to simulate what's taking place both in the forebay, through the powerhouse, and the tail race as well. We're moving ahead with the proof of concept for the slot filler alternative. We've got several alternatives, but the one that we're focusing right now on is that slot filler. And just a brief note on that slot filler concept. It's a proof of concept for the idea that there's a relationship between turbulence and fish mortality. And we believe that if we reduce that turbulence in the gate well, we'll reduce some of that mortality. So towards that end, we're moving out with that concept. Initially, we thought that we would be able to have something in the water this FY, or I should say this next in-water work period, but the fact of the matter is we won't be able to have that completed. So we're looking to have a test next September for the next September time frame. The reasoning being is that it was too aggressive of a schedule that we were looking at, and rather than undermine the overall intent of the study, we just pulled back a little bit, and we want to be a little bit more comprehensive and thorough in terms of what we're doing.
Can I interject too on that? The test we're talking about doing in September would just be a hydraulics analysis. It wouldn't be a fish release. So it'd be once the slot fillers go in, we'd be asking PNNL to come back and do the gate well hydraulics remapping, and then it'd be FY13 would be our gate well releases again.
Okay, I'm gonna look really carefully at the hydraulics. But that, I still don't understand what you guys are doing out there. This doesn't make any sense at all to me. Or Bob Davidson either when I talked to him about it, so I respect his opinion. So I'm leery of this one, very leery of it. I mean, I look out there, I don't see a slot. I still haven't figured out what the slot is. There's no slot, there's a rail out there about this wide, about that deep, and that's all there is in that third gate well. Otherwise, it's a clean square. Or a rectangle. So, I just don't get it.
That's okay. That's okay. just real quickly.
Convert any fish to it, or even. I'm just afraid that we're spending a lot of time on something that's just a waste of time.
Just a comment to that point. We're moving out on this effort as a result of the expressed concerns that you, some of you folks on the table, and I think you as well, pointed out to us. So we're moving out as a result of that.
From the biological standpoint of injured fish, right?
Correct.
Right. I just leery of your of that fix and wasting a lot of time on that.
So is the alternatives report going to describe the, what the fix is and the difference in hydraulics between, you know, what the slot filler will do for the hydraulics? Because obviously we've got model, CFD model runs showing this.
Yeah.
That kind of led to this alternative. Well, we've got an alternatives report. We're working on it.
That's correct, and not only that, but we've demonstrated, I think, to the body at large, the outcome of those modeling that modeling effort, and I think we've addressed in that model the rational logic behind why it is that we're pursuing what we're pursuing. Basically, it's turbulence, and we want to reduce the turbulence that's in there.
I understand that, but when I look at the hydraulics, when I look at the construction of that gate well and the shape of it, I just don't see how the slot fillers are going to change that turbulence. I don't see it.
Okay.
You know, he's from Missouri.
So I will say that you will
be. Do you understand it? I understand what they're trying to do. I mean, you're the engineer. I'm will be surprised if they get a big benefit of doing this.
You know what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small area you're covering, so
it's just a little thing. Elsewhere.
I think from a hydraulic perspective, though, is I agree that up near the top, the size of the bulkhead slot is maybe deemed not very large. But remember that gatewell slot actually comes right out, right after we got the turn and the flow, the gate closure device and the turning vane. So basically, we've concentrated a lot of velocity into a vertical arena, and then all of a sudden, we have a step function out. And it's that step function out.
Is there a diagram of that particular?
Yes.
Because I'm looking down, unit 11's got some dry gate wells, so you can look down there and see it. And as far as I can see down the walls of those gate wells, there's nothing that's just rectangular.
No, it's 12 inches offset.
Okay, I'd like to see that.
No, we haven't.
Yeah. We can get that filler. For you. We can also
that's
show the filler.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just then it's going to be all down there. It's nothing.
No, we'll show you in the drawing.
Basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to eliminate that hydraulic expansion that's taking place. Once the hydraulics hit that the slots, basically they fill in those slots, and that's what's creating those eddies, and those eddies are being created up at the top.
I didn't see those slots.
But rather than doing a bunch of hand waving, it would be good if you could take a look at what the information and graphics that we provided through the model. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Actually, I think you've seen them.
I have.
And I think you were impressed when you saw
them. I looked at the project. I'm not hand waving. I'm looking at the project. And I don't see it. I just don't see it. I look all the way down that gate well, and I don't see it. I don't see a slot. All I see is a rail. And it's about 3 inches by about an inch and a half. That's it. That's all that's on that wall. And I just don't see how that is going to change hydraulics enough to make
it. What's the STS go down? Isn't this what the STS uses?
Yeah.
This is the same slot the STS uses.
Right.
The slot for the STS.
It slides right down.
Well, that's bigger than 3 inches by an inch.
No, the slot is. It's 20 feet wide by 4 feet.
But on either side, there's
a rail.
Yeah.
Go out and look at it.
I've looked at it. It looks small at the top, but Lori, I think we need to provide you some better dimensions.
As far as I can see, all the way down to that wall, it's a concrete wall that wide, flat, with a rail that sticks out that far. That's that wide. And that's all that the STS slides down that rail, steel rail. That's all there is. But that in a wall that's several feet wide, you know, that's what you're looking at. That's not
what's getting filled, because originally those slots were for bulkheads. You shut the unit off, and those bulkheads go down, you know, the roller gates, right?
I think you might be talking about the rail that the guide.
Right.
That's
definitely
guide.
The one's getting
off.
That's
a guide rail. Yeah, it's a guide rail.
But that's all that's on that wall.
But I think there's a slot in there.
Yeah.
But it's in too.
Okay.
I'll look at it again.
We need a field trip.
No,
I must be blind.
Let's get the pictures with them. Let's get the drawings with them.
This
and look at
them. You might want to take the drawings out and compare them for the project.
We actually did.
Okay.
because we have the same issue.
So this has all got to be something that's all the way down at the bottom of that gate well.
It's bigger funding.
Yeah.
Won't the STS have to go in first and then the slot filler afterwards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, STS has to go down and it's kicked out, and then the slot filler would fill in on top of it.
I know our guys are worried about how they would deploy the ADV to measure flow.
Right, because they use, yeah, because they were using that slot.
The guy.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. The rail.
Goes down. Yeah. And with a slot filler, what's that going to do for STS removal? Is that going to make it even more of a nightmare?
Well, part of the design has to be that the slot filler has to be able to come out so they can lift the STS.
Obviously, it's got to come out, but I'm saying it's going to be something that's going to add like another day to remove the screen.
Oh no,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Part of the design process has to be O&M issues associated with maintenance and how quickly they can pull the screen out.
Some of the issues that are being brought up is part of the reason why we felt uncomfortable putting something in the water this FY, this next FY work period. We want to be very thorough and comprehensive about what we do.
Okay, so I'm just thinking if we have a high flow year or something like that, we've got slot fillers, and we have a screen out, pull the screens out, you take a bunch of extra days, it's just going to make that much more of a nightmare of the project.
I just want to make sure that this is a worthwhile fix. I'm still skeptical that it's going to make a
difference. I think you're
to Davidson about it. He has the same skepticism about whether or not it's going to be very useful too. So
what I've seen
that concerns me because I consider him an expert in Gatewell interfaces.
Well, aside from the questions that have been posed,
I don't want to waste years on something that doesn't work.
Any other questions? I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
I'm assuming you guys are federal tracking, though. This is not the only thing you're doing.
Right. This is
exactly.
Not.
Correct. Not.
Yeah. This is not the FGE study in and of itself. This is, I won't call it a splinter group, but I'll simply say that we're trying to move ahead, get ahead of the curve here. We know that it's one of the alternatives that's being recommended, or that will be recommended. So we're trying to get ahead of that. Try to get ahead of the curve on that. But I'm a little concerned with the express skepticism. So I'm wondering if it's worthwhile. How do we address the concern that you're bringing up? Because I think we've addressed it numerous times, actually. So how do we address this?
Get him the drawings, show him the pictures of the actual thick building, and then the hydraulics. I think if he doesn't have that, all
right.
Well, I thought we had a special Federwave meeting where we. It was strictly focused on that.
Yeah, and I raised the issue then. I haven't got an answer to my question yet. And I raised the issue with Davidson. He said, well, we don't have a model yet shown yet, so I'm sorry. Other than the turbine model, which doesn't have the details. I looked in the turbine model down there trying to find the details of this, and I don't see them there either. So that concerned me, and I went back out to Bonneville after the first time when I couldn't find these slots, and I looked down there again with a flashlight, and I still can't find these slots. So I have doubts that something that I can't find is going to have that much of an impact on the hydraulics, and we're going to change fish survival of that project. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I don't want to waste time on something that doesn't have a decent effect when we can be working on other solutions.
Are there any other concerns around the table?
No, as long as you guys are parallel tracking to that kind of stuff, and I know Missouri Boiler is going to run this to the ground, so.
Thanks, Tom.
I've taken it on good faith based on the other meetings we've had.
So.
Well, somebody that can see them.
Oh, you want to see what I wrote?
Pointing out to them.
Missouri boy.
Yeah.
We'll run
but
this
I haven't
to
heard
the
anybody
ground.
That can.
Did you write that down?
I will.
I'm standing up and looking down at people.
I guess not.
Right?
It's on record that Gary Fredericks expresses skepticism in terms of what we are doing.
I'm also known as Missouri Boy.
Well, I've said this every time.
I mean, they're valid concerns. We just need to answer them.
Right.
Get
so you need to look at the
basket. Yeah. Put you down in the gateway. Right?
Basket can never come back up.
There you go.
We've lost more nymph biologists down there.
No wonder there's turbulence.
I should point out that this proof of concept is being headed up as a separate project, if you will, It's a sub-project to the FGE. It's got its own PDT. It's got its own technical lead. But I'd like Randy to speak to the FGE project at large. Is there anything that I missed here, Randy?
No, I think your update is fine. Shooting for trying to get the alternative support, which does include the gate slot filler concept. So
this month.
By the end of this month. And shooting for the December 2011 end date.
What year? End of this FY?
End of this.
This calendar year?
End of the calendar year.
Okay.
2011.
Any other questions? Okay. The B2 orifice, there's been little change since the last time that we briefed, other than that we're moving ahead with the report. And I think that I've identified the completion dates there. We've identified three top-ranked alternatives, and I think they're listed there. So there's nothing new to report other than what I've reported the last time that we met. The B2 corner collector gate hoist fabrication is currently underway. We're expecting to have construction completed by the 28th of February, so that's moving along. There are minor bumps, technical bumps that we're trying to overcome, but that should not impede us from completing our objective on time. So, any questions on that thus far? Okay. John Dick.
Hi, just real quick. Sure. So as far as installation completed 28th February, what would be the expected turnaround time for actually using it? Is it safe to assume we'd be using it immediately, or mm-hmm. are we doing anything once we install it? Are we doing any...
Are you asking for a testing period?
I'm just trying to figure out what's the timeline. I'm hearing you say loud and clear it'll be done on this
right.
date. Yeah, when are we planning on using it?
We're going to use it this next fish period. We will test it, test the mechanics of it, but it'll be operational.
So this will be turned over to the project by the 28th?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just to be on the safe side, I'll say we will turn it over sometime in mid-March. Okay. I think that's a safe assumption, or a safer assumption.
Okay. I mean, the only thing that gets to be a bit of an interest is if, say, flow comes up and then we have to operate Powerhouse 2, and there's kill concerns, and we want to open that up, that's the only issue I see with waiting to mid-March. Could you still open it with a hoist if you had to? Or once this...
You mean with the crane?
With the crane if you had to?
If we absolutely had to, yes.
Okay.
You'd have to unhook it from all the stuff mm-hmm. they're hooking it up to.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So the kelp concerns would arise from seeing kelps in the separator and the bypass system with the screens are going in March?
Yeah, the screens go in March 1st.
Now, to the point that you're making here, can we anticipate any other concerns that might come up prior to that? I'd hate to get to the February time frame only to find out, hey, we need to do whatever, and we're not prepared for that. So is there anything that we can anticipate that we can put into our schedule? Are there any tests that you guys are anticipating? Are there any? Okay.
But I think there is something put in the schedule on, you know, test. There'll be probably a day or two of open, close,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
So putting flow through the corner collector, pulling the bulkhead up and down, checking
that's
limits, all that good
that's
stuff.
That's correct.
Yep.
But also just assuming that we'll probably have some regional, it wouldn't be a surprise if we had a regional recommendation to actually be out there using it in March or as well.
Right.
And so to the extent this final date, there wouldn't be any measures in place should we get a recommendation from the region to open it up and let it rip. We'd like to know we could either use that or not. So it sounds like that'll be a tool that we can use this year.
The intent was for that. Once it's installed, it's tested, and it's fully operational.
Okay, great.
Because we will have Bradford Island down until the end of February. And so we will be running the second powerhouse. That will be the main route of passage. I mean, if there's some problems, if we need to pass kelts or whatever, you know, mid-March is definitely, it needs to be up and running by mid-March, or have some ability to do
that.
So you should be okay.
The target that we're shooting for is 28 March, 28 February, plus or minus a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't think we would have any problems. I think
The plan is, what, the end of February, you ship powerhouse priority and everything goes back to B1.
If we're done.
If you're done, I'm worried about that. Right.
So.
That's what we did last year. That's the fallback.
Yeah, that's, but if we're done, powerhouse ladder, one. I just don't want to see that powerhouse run.
That's a priority car?
That's what we did last
that's
year.
That's an EFPP, yeah.
We better get it in there.
You better get it in.
We're planning a KEL test. I think one of the questions is, with B1 priority, how well the KELs use the B1 sluice way.
Right. And
you're talking about that this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So we would want to switch to B1 in March.
Yeah, but when do you think? Yes. Probably March 1.
March 1.
Rob's got to get back on running, though.
But you got to have it ratcheted up, so.
Well, yeah, that's all supposed to be up and running by then, so.
I may just have to pull the plug and let it go.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And are you guys doing spalling repair in the corner collector channel this year?
Yes.
And that's not going to interfere with, I'm assuming it's going to be done well before this is.
The repair, I suspect that it's going to be done at the tail end of the calendar year.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking this time next year, this time next calendar year. And part of the reason.
So you're not going to do channel repair this year?
Prior to the start of the year, I don't think we can. I mean, we're talking about comprehensive concrete work out there. So if you're thinking about having that done in the February, March time frame.
Serious spalling and stuff.
I mean, we're aware of that.
So
we've been trying to repair that for quite some time, actually.
I just heard rumors that we were going out with a contract.
I was out there.
Yeah, you were just out there with Liz, with Elizabeth, right?
Yeah. Small projects is coming in.
Right.
So we are going to repair it this winter.
That was my intent. That was my impression.
The initial intent was to have it repaired this winter. But I think there's uncertainty in terms of how comprehensive a repair we're looking at. From my perspective, the intent is to do a comprehensive repair so that we're not out there every other year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to
that may take
get to that point, but if we can't get to it this year, do we need to do some interim, like we've been doing, filling some of these holes? Is that what you guys were looking at?
We were looking at the overall condition, including the repairs that were made in the years past. I'm just without inspection. I don't know what's going on between small projects and PM on this, but that was the reason why we were out there, was to look at those, look at the condition. That's all I was involved in.
If we're only looking at patchwork, then it's conceivable that we can do that this winter. But my intent is to do a comprehensive repair, a full comprehensive repair. And I don't know that we can accomplish that this winter.
Okay. No, I wasn't expecting a full comprehensive. I was saying, because I knew there had been some spalling. We didn't get to it last winter. I thought there had been some patchwork this year. I just didn't want that patchwork to, lag, and then, all of a sudden, end of February, by the way, we're going to some patchwork. Carl was talking about available all March. I wanted to make sure that was scheduled in here. Was over.
So let's get a report on this at the FPOM, which is the first tour.
My understanding is that we got a contractor going into the corner collector this month because we're having to juggle their tailwater requirements in the B2, the B branch, and not having the corner collector available to use the past flows and spills. So I thought that was on the list and it was going to be occurring in October. I don't know what the work is. But all I know is I got an email from Elizabeth Paul with the date that the contractor was coming on site.
Is she the TL on this, George, Elizabeth?
No, she's not.
Okay, we'll line up we'll get our story straight and bring it to FPOM. Yeah.
When is the next FPOM meeting?
November 1st.
Yeah, what I don't want to do is let this discussion get to the point where it concludes getting something done this year, too, though. I mean, if it's already getting late. What I recall from last year was there was enough spalling and enough problems with that we were concerned about fish safety, but we went ahead and ran it anyway.
Okay.
Now I don't know what's occurred in terms of erosion since then, but I really wouldn't want to let that go another year without at least fixing most of the problems.
Sure, sure.
It means a short term fix while we get ready for a long term fix.
Hey, don't distract him, we'll take her.
Sorry.
If we just have to put in some compound joints or
fill a, you know, a spalled spot or whatever, because I know there were some pretty serious spalls.
Yeah.
We saw pictures of them. We all saw pictures of them last year.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, yeah, okay.
We can live with it for a year.
Live for another year, but not 2 more years.
Yeah. Actually, there were some actual formal repairs other than patching that were done with the really cut out. There were actual, what we, you know, structures would call real formal repair, where they could cut out areas, form a saw cut,
right.
Came back and anchored, put in the new concrete. Some of those did.
When was that?
That was a year and a half ago, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And
right.
So that's what we were also looking at those.
See if they held up.
And some of them did, some of them did. I don't know how many, you know, there was some damage to some had, some of the repairs did have failures and extensive damage, but re-damage, but. Yeah, Mike, we'll
follow up with Elizabeth.
Yeah, 35 feet per second.
Either way, we can't wait till January
the regularities
to do
there.
These
no.
again.
Well, if the next CEFPAW meeting is on the 1st, my commitment to you folks is to have a definitive for you by COB next Friday. Give me a week, and I'll give you guys a definitive, okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
By definitive, I mean, this is what we're going to do. A plan, basically. This is what we're doing. This is when we're doing it.
Yeah.
And I'll get that out to you guys. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, John Day configuration. We've got a contractor out there to address the wire issue. The contractor's going to be out there the first week of November. And we started designs on the TSW permanence. Basically, we're going to make it a little shorter. We're going to change the orientation of the stop logs. We're going to make it a little bit more efficient to take in and out. That's going to take a little bit of design work. That design work has already started. The intent is to award a construction contract next fiscal year. We've awarded a contract for the acquisition of stop logs to replace the stop logs that are currently being used to support the TSW. The COP has been revised, and I think it's still currently under review at the division office.
On your Indian wire?
Yes.
We never did install it because, like, the farthest downstream wire. Is that going to be installed this year?
There's two downstream wires.
Right.
So were those going to be added in?
No. Okay. Not downstream.
Really?
I think the focus is on the filler wires.
Yeah, well,
the hand cranks.
I would vote that would be my priority. Is like do the filler wires first, but if you got a contract out there, it seems like that would be an ideal time to get those last two wires in, and that's it. Basically, get to what we designed for.
We looked at, George asked the team to sit down and say, because there were several alternatives on repairs. George said, "What is the give me your biological analysis on whether extending these two additional wires will get you anywhere with the current array and how it's currently configured." So between the team and talking with Nathan, said that the current configuration, we didn't feel by adding those two additional lines would buy us anything, and that for spending that additional dollars, and it was a significant cost to add those two lines because it's such a large job. So I mean, we wanted to do diligence. We wanted to say, yeah, we still have two wires.
It'd be nice if you maybe talk to some of the people in the region about that.
We're talking about it now, but we did due diligence on saying, hey, we didn't make that decision lightly without some physical, biological, you know, say, would these add any benefit by doing that? So we just didn't make that decision willy-nilly.
The point is you made the decision, we're talking to anyone else, and now we're... Now,
we really feel that it was a decision that could be made that wouldn't affect the current, you know, ability for that system to work fine.
When you
so
do
it's
that,
two lines.
You need to talk to the region.
Sure. I mean
that's it was a design for the specific number of wires. When you make a biological decision like that, I think that's something that we probably may not have disagreed with you. Just I'm one of those persons that likes to at least ask before I'm told, by the way, we're doing this. Maybe it's the German NBI, I don't know.
Right.
But
well, so, but we can...
No,
we can
German. I'm going to...
Yeah.
Going to
on a positive note, okay, the improvements we are making to the current system, I think you'll be happy with, and we can explain in greater detail of all the other improvements that we're doing to maintain the current system, add back in some filler lines, add in some winches that keep the system taut and make it more reliable.
So you're going to be able to adjust the tone and pitch and sound.
Yeah, exactly. Tone that puppy
it's
right up.
It's not been killed. You haven't been out there in a while, have you?
Yeah. It's not singing anymore. So we'll give you some more details on the good positive aspects we did at the line that you should be happy with.
Detuned it completely.
That's a 45-degree insurance. Is the same?
Well, let me ask. I mean, given the discussion that just ensued here, from your perspective, and it's not like I want to open up a can of worms or anything like that, but if it's important that we add those two additional lines,
it's
and we can find
to discuss the biological merits of doing that, George. That's all we're talking about here.
Yeah,
we're not saying you should have done it. All we're saying is that that should have been a regional decision. If we design something, we decide to from a biological perspective not to continue with that design or fully build it, then I think that's something that the Fairway folks should be talking, should be notified of.
I don't disagree with that.
Chance for saying yeah, no, we probably would have said yes.
I don't disagree with that. What my question is, if it's deemed that it's biologically important and significant enough, and you folks agree to that, mm-hmm. and we find funds for that, and I'm kind of looking to Mike, seeing if I'm stepping out of line here, we can go back to the contractor, make an adjustment to that contract, and make this happen. If you guys think that it's important enough to do that.
What's it, is it like $10,000 to do? Is it $2,000 or $100,000? I mean, that's going to be part of
it. It'll be between 30 and 50.
For two
lines.
That area is covered by the hazing currently. So no.
And we're not seeing the birds work that area.
They work the edge. They always work the downstream edge. Yeah. I think they always build those two lines there or not. It might buy you another 20 feet.
That's the only of less hazing, but they're already out there.
The hazers can cover that area with pyrotechnics without going to BRC.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. So not really necessary. Yeah. Right.
So I get the thing that was my impression. That was the recommendation I made. Is that if it came down to trying to prioritize things, that was low on the list.
And that's where I would have put it to. Yeah. And that's all we're looking for.
I think the decision that was made was the right decision. Now that we didn't consult with you folks, I agree to that. You guys are right.
It's captured in the notes.
That's not the flogging we're looking for.
Well, we'll keep flogging him. Sooner or later, we'll get it right.
It's okay.
He's not quite dead yet.
Got a lot of rear end, so go ahead.
You know, I love to flog. I got all kinds of time.
See, next, George.
If you're talking about flogging me, don't threaten me with something that I might enjoy, okay?
That's captured also in the notes.
All
right. The Dallas Northeast Ladder. We've awarded a task order to have an EDR developed, and it's basically the EDR is going to cover the alternatives, the small suite of alternatives that the region, you folks, have bought into. We just awarded that here recently, and we've got anticipated completion date for that EDR sometime next spring. Randy is all over this, so Randy, if you've got anything to contribute to that, please.
I think there's a handout that went around that Sean put out. I think that really item number three goes into great detail, a little greater detail on what the report will structure is. And we had brainstorming before that just probably something we're based on, like following up on those and looking at it. We call it it's an alternative report, now called an EDR.
Yeah.
But in any sense, we are going to go and kind of go through the process and in the end take four of these. I started out with four or five standalone alternatives, and by the end of the report, there will be one that will be recommended to move forward to further details. There's details of the design document report, design documentation report, which is more details, goes in further detail to the EDR, and then the plan specs and the construction.
Where are you at right now? Are you on 60%?
We are just starting.
Oh,
In fact, I'm having a site visit with the contractor and the in-house teams and the contractor teams next Thursday at the site. We'll again talk a little bit about the background and walk the site, go over where, to help them out understand what we're looking at, what happened,
Who's contractor? Who's contractor?
HDR.
Bristol HDR.
Ron Mason is, yep. is the contractor person in charge there.
So that hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed. I think it's a good fit that they are brought on board. And the company. They've done the work in the past couple of years on this particular project and consistency and such. So,
I mean, once we get down this path now, we get a system in there, is there a thought that you want to try to evaluate its effectiveness?
We would like to evaluate its effectiveness prior to committing to that.
That's, yeah, I was just thinking about that last night, since about that. How would we test this?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because we're using the existing system, and we're asking, and our concepts are asking the system, water for this backup system to go in the reverse direction of what the water is going to AWS now. And being that the East Fish Ladder entrance is the primary entrance, and we do test this thing and
find out we screwed up.
Find out,
Not
find out if we blew something out or something during our test, then we're really
in
trouble on trying to get this thing fixed in rapid order for the task force.
Do it in October, May,
From my perspective, the questions that are being asked right now, I think, are very important and relevant, and I think that they need to be addressed in that report. So from my perspective, the report lays out what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, the what-if scenarios, and I think that's the appropriate place to do that.
Tom, I think the testing is easy. This is what happens as a result.
Just a reminder on this project. I think one of the reasons why we are here, and we've been reminded that this project's taken a little while to complete. We are aware of that, but the fact of the matter is, this project's been going on for 25 years. And one of the reasons, the biggest reason, the biggest reason why nothing's been implemented is because every alternative that we've brought to the table has been cost prohibitive. You know, we're talking $40-50 million. So I believe that what we come up with as a result of these studies here, I think, is going to be significantly lower. I can't speculate how much lower, but it's not going to be in the $40,000-$50,000 arena there. I think it's going to be significantly lower.
Cut the flow needs down
significantly.
Considerably.
Right.
So, just keeping one entrance open.
Right.
What's the schedule on this, then? Several reports and things.
Yeah. Well, we're looking to have the EDR completed by next spring. Then that's going to be followed up by a detailed design report, and that'll be followed up by plans and specs for actual execution. So I'm thinking 18 to 24 months.
When will the 60% report be out?
I don't have that off the top of my head. I can get that here. We're working the final schedules right now with the contractor, but. If I remember right, I think our 60% would be due about 100 days from now, 100 days. But I don't have it. We're working on dates out.
So a do-out for us is to get you that information. We'll get that information to you.
The schedule. The end date is going to be on April 30th.
That's the 60%, but in the middle of that, we probably should have a sit-down discussion about where you're going.
Yeah.
Touch bases.
There's going to be meetings at 20 and 60. That 20 is coming up.
20, 30, somewhere. 20
is coming up.
And that's what I'm worried about, actually. What my concern is, let's get it scheduled so that we can have it in our calendars because things go on.
The kickoff meeting next week, I think we will finalize that. We know we have a schedule in place in terms of calendar days, but I think we need to work between the core. Team needs to work with the contractor to nail down the dates. We know we have an end date. That's not going to change. That's in cycle. It's just that intermediate internal stuff that we want to put dates to right now. We're kind of still talking about that.
Okay, I've got like 4 days
6 days open between now and 2013.
You are busy.
So,
December 31st open for you?
Which one?
December 31st yeah. open for you?
December 31. Yeah.
So how about we provide you a straw man schedule, and then you guys work around that in terms of what's appropriate, an appropriate time for us to get together?
We'll have something after.
Right. Yeah, like 22nd, 24.
Very quick before I lose my system. Just getting confused with terms here. Is the EDR 20%?
That's the product. That's the document.
That's the full. That terminology is somewhat new to us as well. We changed things over. I think we used to call it EDR on alternatives report, but it's the same delivery.
Concept.
Yeah, same idea. Yeah. Any other questions on that particular project? If not, then let's move down to turbine survival. Yeah. We've got a technical writer on board to help us clean up and format the BIT report, and I think we agreed that the BIT report is going to comprise a generic BIT with appendices for specific projects. So we've got a technical writer on board to help us get that squared away. I think Lori's done a great job in kind of giving us the framework. She's put a lot of work into this, and I think what we're going to do now is with that technical writer kind of polish it up, kick it out to you guys for review, and then address that accordingly, your concerns accordingly. In terms of biologic field study for Ice Harbor, that's still under discussion within the PDT. Mm-hmm. We haven't come to a consensus yet in terms of how we're going to move forward, but once we do, we'll let you guys know what we're doing. Any questions on that? Okay. I'm good.
Thank you, George.
Thank you,
Doke. All right. So that gets us, Brad. You know, without having Brad here and slapping his gums, it is really.
I have another.
You have another? Did you say you want to add an agenda item?
Sort of, sure. It's good.
Okay. All right. So hold on just a second. Before we entertain anything else, is there any other additional questions about anything we've discussed today? Okay. All right, Tom.
Since we're not having FPOM next week, since it's getting bumped off till November 1st and CON is coming up 26th, uh-huh. I'm going to take this opportunity to ask the question, what the hell is going to be done with Bonneville Pool during CON removal? We're supposed to be sending a letter in to ask it to be lowered.
Can I jump out? Can I
get that? Do you guys have a position on that yet?
Yeah, glad you brought it up. As far as process goes, we had initially anticipated using the FPOM process as a mechanism, so it was initially there. We did talk briefly with Tammy a little bit, and actually, I don't know if Lisa's on the phone right now, but we just talked about it this morning, and what we were going to do is see if you wanted to present it at TMT as an opportunity. But I guess the Corps position at this time is that we have received the letter, or I guess, did the formal letter come?
It's on our Blue process. God knows where it is.
Okay,
it's not my letter, so I'm not tracking this.
I think the formal one did come because Lisa had requested. Okay. She wasn't going to make the formal request until she got the letter.
Okay, Lisa, are you on the phone?
No, she's smart.
Okay, well, I guess I could phrase it as we know the letter's out there. I've yet to see the formal one. We are planning, we're taking that into consideration, making it a high priority, but as you're aware, due to all the other work that's going on right now, should there be a situation with the B branch work, I think it would take a lower priority to maintain that. So, for example, the request says operate Bonneville Pool and Tor Bay relatively in the lower end to facilitate sediment transport, not to adversely impact in-loose sites. So, we were anticipating getting the final letter. We're anticipating implement it, barring, for example, some downstream. Should there be some, as we discussed earlier, the B branch work. But and I did want to. Lisa and I discussed this morning, and she was going to call you and basically see if this was something you'd want to present at TMT.
Yeah, she called me 2 days ago, and I said,
"Great,
hopefully the letter's coming." And then
right.
She's probably sending messages then to say, "Let's bring some TMT."
Okay.
So is there specific recommendations in the letter? Or does it?
It was just asking for it to be held lower during the conduit outage. I lost the rest of the letter. I did not see actual number. So they might have added one in the final draft.
What was the purpose of the water conduit?
So the cost of being a conduit, you got two options. Keep the pool high or keep it low. We suggest keep it low because it's almost only going to be fine sediments, and there's concern that if you keep it high, those fine sediments are going to settle at the mouth of the wine and impact in the fishing sites. But by keeping it lower, we'll mostly get the sediments moving down past that. You will create a delta.
According to the letter that I saw, it was requesting minimum operating pool.
So that's what we put in there as well. Yep.
Two different things.
I know.
Be careful.
Not a John Day. So.
And then, would you also speak to the expected duration? Because it was my understanding that it would be like 3 to 4 days, and I would assume then
week max.
But you'd probably want to get the river basically set up. So if the removal is happening on the 26th, you'd probably want to get the river set up on the 25th or the 24th, and then
exactly. You wouldn't want to transition during that operation,
right?
According to this, it says you just want minimum operating pool from 0700 on 26 October to 0700 on 29 October.
26 to 29.
That's 4 days.
I asked my last
one. MOP is pretty low.
I know.
MOP is going to affect your...
It's only 3 days.
I know, but I'm saying MOP is really low. Yes. Isn't it for Bonneville Pool? MOP is...
Well, what is it? I don't even know off the top of my head.
I thought it was like 72 or something.
71.5.
71.5.
Which could take your juvenile facilities.
Well, guys on your platforms, net, I mean...
Well, they're not going to be net fish.
71.5 starts affecting, water, facility systems, and all that kind of stuff.
This is a recommendation put forth by... my agency.
Is there a hydraulic evaluation?
There was attached to the letter. Yes.
So but it have the velocities of how it change and sediment transport.
But I think regarding the 71.5, I think the letter was soft and that it basically finessed the idea that they would like it low. But as you're indicating, should there be some issues when you go all the way 7.5? I don't think the letter's expectation was you would do bad things. So, for example, I would assume it would be appropriate to run it at 72.5 or something like that. So
the thought being, like, you hit 71.5 plus or minus your 1.5 foot band or something.
Sure. Seems like every year there's some construction activity out there before we do this.
71.5 is a big deal. It's not unheard of at all.
No.
And everything
we see it pretty often now.
And we alert our tribal fishermen that for
they're
like
not
4 days.
Be out there.
Right.
You better have a long net.
But we do. But we have seen when we go real low, like I know below 72, we have issues associated with auxiliary water intakes, being able to provide enough water, entrances, things like that, fishway stuff. So
ladders should run high.
Yeah, but I mean, we start seeing like
orifices.
Just intakes being dirty and, have to be cleaned and not
your
as much
ITS
head.
Will have to be managed.
Yeah.
Well, you might be getting that anyways. So.
Is the way conduit's going to be breached, is it for sure that that's the 4 days where this slug of sediment's going to come out, or do you need it more flexible?
The thought is that that's where all the fine will come out. Once you get a good flush, you'll probably get a lot more. But the thought is to deal with the fines first, and then Mother Nature's going to take care of the rest. Yeah, that's not going to
be. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with it there anyway. You're trying to minimize as much as you can.
Yeah,
okay.
Good reason to have that.
One right there.
Two down.
Just above the Bridge of the Gods on Washington Shore.
That's during the event.
Oh, well, hold on. You need to watch that.
Thanks. That's a sweet reason. Shoot the messenger.
I have one more item now that has come up.
Okay, so one. Anything more on that one?
No, that's one to since FPOM's
kind of a heads up.
That's the best opportunity to deal with it before it's next week.
Okay, but we'll put you on the agenda. And you can, sounds good. Okay.
All right, Tammy has one more item.
Since we don't have FPOM next week, I just got an email from the project. They need to take Powerhouse 1 to the Priority Powerhouse on Tuesday.
Really? Why?
The B diffusers are full of sediment over in the south monolith. They have extreme leakage over in the north monolith. They need to do an ROV inspection to get a better understanding of what they're looking at over at Washington Shore.
Can that apron just fall out? Just take one out.
We have the only unit out of service at Powerhouse 1 is Unit 9 right now.
It's still out?
It's still out, yeah.
So say that again, Tam. You said you're going to request Powerhouse priority change?
I am requesting now that Powerhouse 1 become the priority powerhouse on 11 October.
11 October,
I think. No, probably during the day, because they're going to do their ROV inspection on Tuesday, which, yes, that will basically shut down your trapping at the AFF.
You call them to tell them that,
though. That's John's job.
Good. I was just going to say, you could push that off till like later in the afternoon. Let them have them, since you've already shut them back.
They're lucky they got until that long. They could have been done on the first.
I'm not counting what I'm giving you as lucky.
So is this going to go out as an email request as well, or is this going to be your
coordination?
You're all here. I mean, I can send it out as, I will do the paperwork on it as well, but if you can give me the...
And let them know.
I'll let them know, yes, but I'm not asking their permission. I'm asking.
I know, I'm just saying give them notification of what's going on. It's better when we do it from the 12th.
It'll be the 11th.
And that's the question, do you need to have it done? Can you do it like at 4 o'clock on the 11th?
No.
Or in the afternoon? You have to do it like 7 in the morning?
Yeah.
But you're doing work on the 12th?
On the 12th, we're taking the AFF to Orifice Flow in preparation for taking the Washington Shore Ladder down on the 17th.
I know. My point being is that we at least give them the 11th to do one last day of sampling.
The 11th needs to be the inspection day.
It needs to be the inspection day. It's the riggers that do the inspection, and they have a whole lot of prep work. They need to know what they're getting in for. They have to get contractors in there. It's either that, or we can just let the whole fishway fill up with sediment. I mean, if that's what you would like, that's fine.
You already are.
The AWS could be chock full. I mean, all the diffuser pits are. And if those drains are clogged, it could be a very slow dewatering process.
That's how we drain the monoliths.
Both monoliths at Washington Shore.
So on the location,
I'm not telling them.
I will be glad to tell them. My question is,
we were going to take that system down at the end of the month, right? That was the original. I'm trying to remember all that.
The system was originally going to go down the first of the month.
The first of
October.
October, and it got bumped back to the 17th.
It got bumped because of B branch.
It was 17th. Critical. That's what it was.
Right.
Well, then it got moved to the 17th.
And now you're asking to move it.
Well,
it's just switching powerhouse priority, not shutting down the ladder.
The ladder will still be down on. You're going to Orifice Flow the ladder on the 5th?
On the 14th.
Yeah, so but the issue is B branch is down. So now we're back to just, we're going to first powerhouse, we'll have
A branch.
Just one ladder to the left.
A branch and then attraction flow for Cascades Island.
Right. So we're at 5,000 Chinook a day, something like that right now.
Things dropped off, something like that.
Closer to 3.
I didn't look at the days, but it bounced around. I think it went back up to 4,000, 4,800, 5,000 yesterday. It bounced back up again, and we typically see a peak, a double peak.
Non-tracking day.
Non-tracking day. Because they're not trapping for condit.
Sorry?
We have to trap for condit fish on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
So. No, that's done.
Are they finally done with that?
That was done.
Oh, my God.
So it looks like for yesterday we had 2,600 adult.
How many jacks?
And jacks. 2,600 Chinook total.
So we dropped again.
Your coho is at 1,400 and your steelhead at 500.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. It's got a few pinks, 25 pinks.
I'm still trying to figure that out. Okay.
Yeah, when you talk about the monolith, which specific area is that just the
totally biases? It's the entrances for Washington Shore that are not along the face of the powerhouse.
It's a big wall.
So at the end of the ladder?
That entire structure that houses those entrances are the monoliths.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you're talking about the whole thing or just at the end.
The whole thing.
So you're basically, all you're coordinating is a shift of priority from 2 to 1, a few a week earlier.
And that they're going to take, they're going to be looking at the bonds out the day sooner than we talk about.
Well, if you take it down,
you're basically you have to do ROV for the models when? The 12th now?
The 11th. They're going to do the inspection on the 11th, on Tuesday.
If you're doing that, then you're basically going to be going to go to all passive and you're doing that.
We can leave it that way, or we can just switch power.
The B monolith is as far south as possible.
And then it's also doing ROV in there.
That's going to chase everything.
Yeah, it's going to chase all the adults anyway. So
yeah, I mean, after the last chase was done, it basically got sampled. Ladder or no ladder.
Yeah.
So this is basically what we're doing is moving it a week earlier.
Yeah, so the word that I just got from Ben is we have about 15 to 20 feet of sand above the B diffusers, so they haven't even reached the B diffusers yet. And they need to take the south shore out to be able to close those diffusers before we can even dewater the AWS and the north end. Because you can't have those diffusers open. Water will come in. Yeah, 15 to 20 feet of sediment above the diffuser.
You mean in the channel, underground above the diffuser?
In the diffuser pits, yeah.
Also above the orbit, upstream of the orbit.
Yeah, not in the ladder, though. All
right. Mm-hmm. I guess we know
where all the debris went. That's just the beginning.
That is just the beginning.
I mean, we're talking about three.
Did they find amethysts in there when they dug them out last time?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Skip
over
now?
I don't know. They usually put a skid steer or a bobcat or something down there and scoop it. But there's only two drains in the AWS itself. I mean, this could be a very...
Well, we cracked the, you know, to drain that, we cracked the, you know, we'll pull water back in the... You drain the AWS out, and then you crack the orifices and pull the water back into the AWS to drain it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we pump it out.
I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Some of them we pour, we'll pump in. The other goes into the AWS, which goes to the project sumps and out into the corner collector.
The key here is adult passage for that period of time.
I mean, you'll still have the north entrances working, I mean, to ladder flow, and that's it.
That won't matter. With powerhouse down, we're shifting everything to...
Everything will shift over to B1, and A branch is it.
Yep, A branch is it, and Cascade Island, to the extent that we have a AW or attraction flow out of B1. Mm-hmm. So that's what you have for adult passage facilities right now.
It should be fine. Mm-hmm. Unless you're trying to get fat for it.
That's, you know, stop the carnage.
All right, I guess that means we can just keep harvesting whatever we need, because we're not going to get the information, so...
No, we stop harvesting.
Yeah, good luck on that one. With no data.
So okay.
We're working on it.
So it sounds like Cammie's going to send out the details in a request, but everybody's on the assumption that the system may be coming, being modified on the 11th, and we'll switch powerhouse priority on the 11th.
Okay.
Okie doke?
That's not okie doke, but...
Right. Roger. Okay, anything else? Anybody else have anything to add to the agenda? One item that we do need to talk about is the next Fitter Week was scheduled to be December 1st. December 1st is going to be that AFEP review up in Walla Walla. So
the dates for AFEP, are they posted?
Starting on the Monday of that week.
Yes.
So what's the Monday?
It's the 28th through the 1st, I think.
28th of Monday.
28th
through Thursday the
1st. Yeah. If you haven't made hotel reservations for that, I would consider doing it. The Whitman's full.
I didn't know what the damn thing was
going to be.
Never tell me these things.
Okay. So, a Fitter Week for December. We're not going to be having one in November. Do you guys have an open date in December that on your calendars right now?
31st is a great time.
31st?
Saturday.
I'm thinking like the first or second week in December.
So you have on the 8th, you have the Leslie Land Ranger.
December 8th.
That's F-POM.
Thursday, December 8th.
So F-POM.
That's F-POM. On your calendar is F-POM, I hope.
Yep. Oh, it is.
Russ, you're not paying attention.
Okay.
F-POM? Sometimes
I'm going to send Tammy after you.
Yeah, we already rescheduled November, so.
Well, wait a minute.
How about the 15th of
December?
The 15th of December?
That's
after SCT?
No. At least there's an Erdic trip scheduled for the 12th, unless it's gone.
Which one is that?
That's Ice Harbor Runner and Closure Gate.
And that's definitely not changed yet. I don't expect
that is not.
I don't think about the first week of December.
That's a 7th.
What about Friday the 9th?
Is it? Okay.
Excuse me?
Friday the 9th?
Friday the 9th?
No.
Friday the 9th?
Friday the 9th is a possibility. Yeah. 6th, 7th.
That's so for those of you who attend the Lamprey meeting, that's the bi-monthly Lamprey meeting. But other than that, there's nothing else on the 8th and 9th.
How about
13th or 14th?
That's that Erdic trip.
There's an Erdic trip that's the week of the 12th.
Yeah.
How about the 20th?
Oh, he's going to be gone that week.
You're fine.
I don't know if you're going to find many people here.
I'm sure Doug would love to have a meeting on his birthday.
23rd.
Easy.
Stop. Friday the 2nd.
What's going on?
Friday the 2nd, everybody be back from, be everybody be back from the AFEP review. I don't know if they'll be meeting Doubt, but yeah. Gary, do you have that day open?
Friday the 2nd.
The 2nd of December?
Yeah, we'll be here.
I don't know.
I'll have the 16th. How
about Friday? December 5th. Yeah?
December 5th? Monday, December 5th?
Thank God we find a
day. All right. Monday, December 5th.
That works. I'm putting it on the calendar.
Put it on now.
All right. That was great. For all of you that are sticking around for the
Dr. Kelt
work, yeah, for I will find out if we can, if Bob's amenable to bumping that up to starting at around 1. Because I know a lot of you that are here, we're going to attend that. Sooner the better. So how many here are planning on attending the Kelt stuff? Fish and Wildlife Service team, you'll be here?
Not if I have to wait until 2 o'clock.
No, we're saying if we can move to 1.
Maybe about 12:30.
12:30?
Well, sure. I'll go ask Bob if that works.
Are you done?
We are done.
That would
take
an hour.
This room?
This room, 12:30. And I will go tell Dr. Kel Bob. Thank you very much.
Coordinates the SCT email this week.
I think Hedlund did.
Hedlund? Okay, I'm going to email him.
I don't know why the one with the reason to make this show. I mean, we even got the contract to go out there with the so we can do that.
Is that off?
Yeah, it's off.
I do think that the whole B2 corn collector issue, it'll be a really interesting, I'm looking forward to the conversation because what's the off? What are we going to do?
Well, what's the off?
Yeah, what are we going to do? How are we going to operate the B2 corn collector?
Well, my understanding
understanding from is that we will shift to B1 priority. When because it's supposed to, I have hammered home to George. George is a little flaky, but I've been sitting on these team meetings, you know, every 2 weeks whenever we're talking to contractor. That thing's supposed to be operational by the end of February. So that means we've done all of our little testing, talking, everything's all done. Yeah. Can you, are you going to, Mike?
He's going to find Bob.
Great. Thanks, Mike. You going to tell Bob? 12:30? Okay, thanks. And so March 1st, everything was supposed to shift over to...
And then it pops over to...
That's supposed to be Powerhouse 1 priority, Powerhouse 1 sluice way, and then we discuss the trigger. And that was the whole why we have VPA and, you know,
right.
Longer
and even our and even division. I mean, I think we've been a source of frustration because in the that's the whole cumulative 20 fish
sure.
problem.
That was a,
so right, but we've been, but we keep doing it. And so
right, it's our fallback.
It's the rollover right. operation.
The rollover, yeah, you know, fallback rollover.
So, but that'll be another. So now we have this new gate that supposedly can open and close quickly. I'm assuming.
Oh yeah.
I think it's a fair assumption that perhaps BPA's position on the issue would be: should it come open earlier than the initiation of spill, it would be on a more timely.
Right. You open up during the day or
not at night, maybe on Tuesdays, but not Wednesdays. So
there hasn't been any discussion.
We haven't had any of those, and so now it's like I'm hearing this thing's coming online. And people are
well,
expecting to use
online,
it.
Well, coming online means it can be operated more. But I think what... Yeah, we need...
But I'm just saying,
no,
I'm like, wow, great.
Let's have this... I think. Let me talk to George. Let me bring this up with George and say, there's some... Oh, I guess we need to have further discussion. Maybe this needs to be
just
an agenda item.
But just the, biological expectation. And again, I haven't even heard George's operational expectation. I mean, is it a safe assumption that... From the biological community, should BPA press the issue of, hey, you know, we want it to be done intermittently.
Yes.
I'm assuming that you push a button and it opens and closes.
Yes.
I'd like to hear that. I mean, oftentimes we make assumptions that
right. You want to know how it can be operated.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times biologically we assume that things can just be operated on. Oh, but then the reality is, oh well, yeah. But
I don't know where George was. I don't know where George is.
Yeah, I mean,
but I know the contractor.
Is it user friendly though? I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
I've got
oh yeah, it's like an open and closed auto.
Right, but it won't be like oh yeah. In order for to do it, we have to leave the control room and walk down there, and we have to pull this and do that. And so, from an operation perspective, we would assume if we're going
to
have it open, it would be whatever.
It would within 15 minutes.
So it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
but I think you bring up a very good point. We need to have some kind of operational type of scenario.
So
how
is
it operated? What are the expectations? Are there biological expectations that are
going
to differ from previous
years
because now we have way more flexibility with it?
But my point
which I'm assuming BPA will play a part of. Should you open it before spill season?
Doing it next week is fine. The week of the 17th.
You will open it and close it more. I'm assuming that, but I don't know. Maybe that's not a fair assumption. Maybe.
No, I think it's a great assumption because they're all about
5K. Just don't keep it going if you don't need to use it. Now you have this button you can push in your calendar.
Maybe you open it every other day.
Every other day, only during daylight hours. I mean, what's the...
So that's just,
so it doesn't make sense to
me. I'm just saying that was a red flag that went up in this little head of mine that says,
Maybe I'll mention that to Bob.
I will.
I wasn't planning on spending a lot of time
here. That's fine. I'm just slowly seeing that off on the horizon like, oh, well...
Yeah. I guess
there's a big scab. Can't wait to pull that one off.
Yeah, no.
Another one where there'll be...
That wasn't too bad of a meeting.
That was awesome. Well done. Well done. That wasn't bad at all.
Although I
would say called Moody or Bailey.
I'm going to need Ben to go take a picture. I know exactly where these slots are. I'm sorry.
So do I. You need to go down in a man basket is what you need to do.
You got
to
get past that initial...
Yeah. Well, because there is a very narrow slot up top.
Can you get wireless in here?
Once you
get
down,
card?
You need to get my hair card.
Yes. Because Gary, and I've even, once Gary mentioned that to me when I was at Bonneville, I went over to Unit 11 and looked down the slot. There is a very,
so is there any way
you know, it's a very narrow shot.
Are you ready to roll something like
you can't see down
no,
far enough where the transition is
down,
the ceiling
so
is where
just,
it out.
Again, now you're probably like, oh my gosh, would you stop opening it? But
I mean,
in light of all these
Gary's
discussions,
like what
I can see from the deck.
The next week,
sometimes, should I call Ben or whatever? Are you going to be going out? So all these things that are going on right now would be really groovy. So RCC is educated to better appreciate the depositional issues associated with all that. Do you know anybody that's going to, I can cork it if you need to get to work. I can stop rambling, but... you know anybody that's out there running around that could do some babysitting to thread the needle on all these operational challenges? And then, I mean, like, it'd be groovy, that whole comment that was made about basically 20 feet of deposition and all that. Is there, should I call Ben, or are you going out there anytime soon, next week or whatever? And
let me look at my calendar and I'll
do a babysitting point, basically to walk through a lot of the things that were discussed today. Because, like, all that stuff, I have no appreciation for... the sedimentation issue. I did see pictures of the scouring associated with the B2, so I get that part, but I just feel like over the next 2 months there's going to be a ton of work at Bonneville, and I can just brush up on any of that stuff if there's... tomorrow even works, too, after like 10. I don't know if you're out there tomorrow.
I'm not, but next week could be just fine. We have APB doing a tour out on the 12th.
Okay, let me look here.
So... if you could come out for that, because we'll be showing them a lot of the same things that
can't
you can't
do with the team. That's the TMT meeting.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. What about the 13th?
They have it ready to go.
Yeah, you have it. 13.
Bye. FPOM. Thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Lori. Talk to you soon. Perfect. That's FPOM. I had it. I had that set assigned for FPOM on that date, so the 13th of October. And let me just think here for a second. 13.
Do you want to bring Lisa with you?
If she's available, she could probably get a lot out of it. Because I'm assuming with all these, it's just with, there's a ton of communication going back and forth right now for teletypes, change powers, priority, sedimentation, downstream, upstream. It'd be cool to be able to walk through some of these things. But I don't want to. I don't know if you're available or.
I am, because I was just gonna have. FPOM on that day. I mean, there's the Association of Power Biologists, but I don't need to go to that. This would be much more important to get all this straightened out.
Because I guess, too, it would be good to have the whole... I don't know if you heard me just talking to Dennis, but what the heck are we going to do with the B2 Corner Collector this year?
I'm not involved in that effort.
And you got me to deal with, too, because that'll be a whole nother... Like, so...
Well, I'm hoping we'll be able to deal with that this afternoon. And there's, you heard him. They're like, well, that's what we're going to do, switch powerhouse priority. I'm like, it's not in the FPP.
Well, what did we do last year for that test? So why are we even doing that? Why are we doing... I'm clueless. Sorry, I'm not connecting the dots. So last year we did the KELT test, right?
Right.
And that was in... When did we... We basically got all the steelhead. I remember the balloon tags. Whatever. But we're doing that again this year? Why are we doing that this year?
Because we're rolling, because we roll over, because that's what we do is we roll over.
But the research, why are we?
We know this research. I don't know that we'll do, see, and I have no idea. I don't know that we'll do the research. It may just be the operation that we're going to roll over.
Okay.
That was the first I had heard of it. I know there's always discussion as to what are we going to do, and it always waits till the last minute. So I look forward, hopefully, to... later this afternoon of getting a few more details as to what we will be doing.
What powerhouse priority are we operating to right now?
Two. We'll switch that on Tuesday.
And that was news, too, to hear that, like that comment that you said today, too. Like, so the Tuesday, I guess I wasn't, and again, I'm not, it's not a dig at you. I'm just, all I'm trying to say is
no, that just came up, though.
There's, like, so much going on right now. I'm having a hard time keeping up, I'll be honest with you.
It wasn't supposed to switch on Tuesday. Okay. That was the email I had just gotten, like, that moment.
Okay.
That they need to switch powerhouse priority to do an ROV inspection.
Okay. If you're right in the middle of something, too, I can totally shut up.
No, I'm sending fisheries a note that will be out on Thursday.
Could we do it on the early side? That's
sure.
Thursday. So the boys are going to deer camp again this year, and I'm really excited that I won't have to be changing diapers in the wall tent. I'm really looking forward to that. But it just dawned on me, I got to get some slingshots. But we're going to leave on that night. We'll be leaving after work. I'll be leaving after work on that day. So to the extent the meeting could be earlier and then getting back at a decent time, I would appreciate it. And if it is, screws up the meeting, I guess I would probably just leave early. Would it be possible to do something on the early side?
Sure, like what time?
I'm one of those annoying early people, so I don't know what your schedule is, but probably as early as your time would allow.
I could do 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Is that early enough?
That's fine. I could do earlier.
Do you want to do earlier?
Yeah. How long does it take to get out there from Portland? 40 minutes? I usually start at...
An hour.
An hour.
You want to just turn it...
8? 8's fine.
Oh, yeah. I can totally do early because...
7:30. I'd love 7:30. 7:30 would be groovy.
Michael. No, I thought I had to get Buggy on the bus, but I don't have to.
You want to do like 7:30 to noon, and then if we need to change, just let me know. Would that work?
Yes.
I love it. That's the best time of the day.
Yeah, I'll be up early.
So hold on, let me just get this in here. October. Cancel. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe all the stuff that's going on at Bonneville right now.
I know.
It's a joke. What's up with that?
It's a bit intense.
And so, too, as far as that whole... actually, let me just shut up and do complete a task here.
This is what my normal schedule looks like.
New appointment. Where's the new appointment? Next day, new week, new alarm, new view. Do a meeting invite?
Yeah.
Can you CC Lisa?
Yep.
That's good, then I can bring firearms. Can we bring firearms on site to the project? They actually check?
They won't check you for where you'll be parked.
Okay. Because that's good for me, because I didn't want to park firearms downtown. I don't like leaving guns in the truck. And so, yeah. But normally I have my dog with me, so she's the guard dog, but she's not going this year because I'm like, you know, you should stay home with mom because it's so nice. I feel so much better when the dog's with my wife when she's home alone. But I feel bad. Ruby's going to be so mad. She's not going to deer camp this year. She's going to be the security dog.
That has to make Willow feel better, though.
Totally. I mean, it's just nice. It's the best. I mean, you walk up, the first thing you see at our house is a dog in the window, and it's like, are you going to mess with that house, or are you going to go down to the next house?
Have you checked out what I've done to the website?
No, I haven't. No.
I know you've been busy.
No, that's such a lame comment.
No, but you have been.
No, it's a total lame comment.
But it's true.
No, it's a lame comment. Everybody's busy. That's actually, I hate it when I hear people say that. Oh, I'm so busy. Like, oh, I've just been hanging around in the hammock, doing yoga in the Pearl, going to my smooth skin appointments all day. Request. This would be extremely helpful. And even, like, could we even squeeze in whatever Gary was talking about? I have no clue what's going on with the Gatewell issue, what he was talking about.
Yeah, we should be able to look into the Gatewells. It's going to look like a concrete box, but...
It's okay. This would be tremendously helpful. Oh my gosh, accept. Where's accept? Reply. How do I accept on here? Don't you just... Yeah.
I have to open it first. Then you
see availability on my Mac. See you using.
Open it and then push that little.
View availability.
Button. No. Now just push the little fuzzy.
Accept. Aha. Okay. Thank you. That's gonna be tremendously helpful. We gotta get. Okay. So here's the deal.
Lisa accepted.
Yeah. Cool. That'll be perfect. It's so awesome having her help.
Corner collector issue is known by Kevin Perletti. Oh.